No. No.
You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Don't go.
I don't want to disturb you.
Your presence is soothing.
You had another nightmare last night.
Jedi don't have nightmares.
I heard you.
You want to take it from the top?
Yeah, let's try it.
Process server, so I have to wear a suit.
Wow. Your servant? Like, a butler? A chauffeur?
No, what? No, I'm not like... No, I'm
Shine
a...
Shoes?
I'm a process server. I like...
In process.
I work for a company that's like hired by lawyers to like hand out legal documents, like subpoenas to people who don't want them, so I gotta wear like disguises sometimes just to make them admit that they're themselves so I can serve them the papers.
Disguise?
Kind of, I guess. It's a hell of a job.
That's cool, man.
Like a day-to-day basis, it's fine. Like,
got a great job where you don't do anything?
That's what I say.
I wish I had that.
But you do. You have the easiest job on earth.
That's true.
You didn't think of that.
I do have a good job.
Yeah, you do nothing.
Thanks, man.
No problem. Bumpy.
Pay the price of the demo tapes, unless we take the demo tapes to the record company and get paid.
Hello, exactly. But
that's not an MP. That's a YP. Your problem. Come up with the money, and I'll give you the tapes. That's it.
Okay. All right, now you're talking above my head, all right? I don't know this industry jargon, YP, MP, whatever, okay? All I know is that I cannot get a record contract. We cannot get a record contract unless I take these tapes. And granted, the tapes themselves are your you own them, okay? But the magic that is on the tapes, that heart and soul that we put into those tapes, that is ours, and you don't own that. Now I need to take that magic and get it to the record company, okay? And they're waiting for us. We're supposed to be there a half hour ago. We look like assholes right now, man.
When you're sliding into first and you're feeling something worse, diarrhea, diarrhea. When you're sliding into third and you juicy turd, diarrhea, diarrhea. When you're sliding into home and your shirt is full of foam, diarrhea, diarrhea. When you're sitting in your Chevy and your shirts are feeling heavy, diarrhea, diarrhea.
Kevin, honey, where'd you learn that song?
Last summer at camp, Mom.
Ah, that was money well spent.
Nowadays, all you need is an idea, entrepreneurial spirit, passion, and initiative. How about this one? How about a sticker for the side of your SUV that says, it's a hybrid? You won't save the planet or use less fuel, but people will stop giving you the finger and won't be calling you a village idiot, or an environmental disaster, or a stupid, misfortunate placenta.
Okay. Hey, everyone! It's Friday! No more Mulberry! Welcome, film, television, pop culture. We're back. Back on our normal feed. Thank you for joining us for this refreshing Friday. Steven to my left. Steven the Pop Culture Zealot. How you doing, Steven?
Just fine.
We also have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian.
Hey.
Now, Steven, where have you been this week? You're always somewhere different. That's what's... I'm always in the same place, namely this chair. Where have you been this week?
The lovely Bay Area.
The Bay Area. Now, what would where would that be?
San Francisco.
San Francisco, huh? Mm-hmm. Now, it's been quite a while since you've been there. I'm wondering how long it'll get foggy to...
Hello,
didn't take him that long, did it?
And
what he's not telling us is he wasn't there for work.
Hey.
He was there for pleasure.
Nice.
San Francisco, yes. I was in Berkeley for work.
Now, that place, San Francisco is like one of the most expensive places in the world to live. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, does it look like that when you're walking around? It's just beautiful everywhere? Everything's...
Actually, it was kind of cool. I won't say cold because it was in the 50s. It was nice little jacket weather. I was like... Wow, it's burning up back home, and I'm comfortable here.
That sounds like it's been hot as hell here.
I was like,
hot
it
as
was,
hell.
When I landed, it was like 54, and I was like, double that, and that's the temperature back home.
Try 107. You know what really sucks in weather like 107? Like, sure, you could stay inside, but you got to do things. The worst part about hot weather is having to go somewhere, get out of the car, come back, and get in your car. Where literally, if you don't start the car, roll down the windows down or something, you'll die within minutes. You know, like if you're... There's one day I put my daughter, Emma, in the car, and the lady was blocking my driver's side. It's just like, lady, I gotta get in my car. My child will die. Will you please move out of the way? I gotta get in my car. You know, so I just punched her in the head and shoved her out of the way and got out of there.
Yeah, but when I was up in Ohio a couple of weeks ago renting the car, the girl outside was complaining at 80 degrees. you don't know what heat is.
The grass is always greener. Now, what part of, what did you say, what part of San Francisco were you at?
I was in Berkeley working.
Berkeley?
With all the hippies.
With all the hippies, yeah.
He can cry his little eyes out. I'd feel like a piece of garbage, like about that big, like a 5-cent recycling can. And that's what he can do in Berkeley crap town.
Oh, my God. Apparently that girl was upset with you, Steven, or something. Huh?
Yeah,
so what's
5-cent recycling
crap town like?
Actually, there's like different parts. You
I heard
know?
It's pretty dangerous it's there if you like protest on the campus or whatever. Or is
we
it?
Were pretty
has
close
it been a long,
to the
been a while since then,
yeah,
so
yeah,
it's okay
yeah, that's
now.
A while.
Okay, yeah.
That's called the 60s.
Oh, okay. So if I asked about it, they're like, dude, you weren't even born yet, man. I wasn't even born yet.
I was so, born, but I was like,
I was just being pretend stupid, just pretending. Bill, how are you doing, sir?
I'm pretty good.
Doing well? Is it hot as hell where you live?
Not really. I mean, it's, I think it's been around the 80s all week. It's not that bad. A little humid, but.
You know, the humidity is what gets you up. You're up there. The humidity kind of gets you.
Yeah.
And if there's just a little bit of wind, but if it's like humid, no wind, and it's just like, oh, you feel like Jar Jar in Phantom Menace when he's walking around. He's like, he's an amphibian creature on Tatooine. You know that he was just dying there.
That's stretching.
Am I right? Well, didn't you sympathize with Jar Jar in that scene?
No.
What
did anybody sympathize with Jar Jar?
Excuse me.
Sure. I mean, I thought he was going to melt. You know, have you ever seen like a lizard dried up in the sun? You know, like dead lizard or something. I really
no.
have nothing right now, so I'm going to change the subject as quickly as possible. No, but you know what? I did. I don't know in other parts of the country if people have heard of this, but there's this thing called Radiant Barrier. Have you heard of it, Steven? They use it on the space shuttle or something, NASA, or I believe what it is, the military invented it so you couldn't see vehicles, heat signatures or some crap like that. So basically what it is, it's a way to
insulate,
heat proof your attic or whatever. They spray this silver paint stuff.
Nice.
And what it does is kind of like tinfoil or whatever, it reflects the heat where it doesn't go into your attic. Because basically what's happening is heat, you know, goes through your ceiling, your roof in your attic, and then you have insulation there. But that insulation still heats up, and eventually it comes through your roof, right? So with Radiant Barrier, it basically repels most of it. I know it's like a certain percentage. And they also lay, it's almost like these foil, like confetti in a way. They spray all over your insulation. Like,
what they don't tell you is it's actually just Reynolds wrap foil.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking. Like,
Jason's been studying on this. He's like,
yeah, I have.
I'm fascinated by it. This is cool my house down.
Well, it's like I've been telling him. He's doing it just to make sure his house can survive atmospheric reentry.
Yeah, how cool would that be? Like, if you've seen Zathura, like a house in space or whatever.
Instead of like regular roof shingles, you got space shuttle tiles up there.
That would be sweet. But I had the guy come out to the house and give me an estimate on it, just because I was curious. It says
$6,000.
Free estimate. It wasn't that bad. It was $1,600.
Okay.
And that's including insulation and, you know, it's not just the spray. It's also the
reflecting.
The flaked type crap or whatever. You know, I'm just like, uh-huh, yeah. But the main thing he said that sold me, and I was like, sold. He goes, okay, imagine this. Right now, how hot does it get in the afternoon or whatever? I go, it gets hot, man, because the sun is beating down on the house. We got this extra insulation up there, but it's still, it helps to a degree, but still it can't take it. The house can't take it. And he goes, what if I told you in the summertime, you won't be able to tell if it's even summer, fall, spring, winter. It always stays the same. I was like, sold.
Biodome.
I was like, sold, Johnny. Sign me up, baby.
Take it.
I mean, doesn't that sound awesome?
It'd be nice. If it works like that, that'd be
If it works.
I've been reading testimonials and stuff online, like people saying, I live in Phoenix, and my air cuts off. I can't believe it. It used to run all day long. I was like, stuff works, man.
Wonder how much they got paid for that.
Hey, Bill, it's authentic testimonials.
Oh, okay.
I know. It's like just a guy writing them. I need to do that. Make up testimonials for Nowhere in Mulberry. Like, hey, not only
it changed
this
my life.
The show not only changed my life, but it also saved me 30% on my electric bill. It's like, whoa! How does that happen?
It also saved me 20% on my prescription medications.
These guys really know what they're doing. Hey, and you know what? I'm going to go ahead and thank our listeners. We had a few donations this week. Swiley, I was telling you, Bill, that Swiley, he's supported us several times.
Yes.
He's the man. And also,
he's the king.
Frog, we know from the forums,
yep,
helped donate us. And also, the download page came out this week. And I sent out emails to everyone that had access to that. And I've been adding new ringtones every day.
Now, when I opened that page you sent me, the little automatic player was in like double time. It was playing real fast.
Really? Well, that's just a streaming or whatever. You just hit stop, and what you're doing is downloading that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of wacky, but yeah, just stop that player. That doesn't. I don't know why that automatically plays, but I added some new things. One I'm very proud of, Bill and Steven, is the 300 ringtone. Did you see this, Bill?
No, I didn't.
Now imagine your phone ringing.
No, I did get the Lex one.
You did? Awesome.
I've got to put it on my phone.
This is a ring.
Nice.
That's great.
It's like, what the hell is that sound? Oh, it's my phone. It's the Spartans. Is that ridiculous or what?
Spartans are calling me.
Just every, and this is the most annoying one, but I had to do it. Come on, that's an awesome ringtone, right?
That would scare people if they heard that.
Like, what? What do you have in your pocket there?
Just jerking off in the elevator.
No, if anyone remembers, that is the
Laughing Yogi.
That's the Laughing Yogi from the very first season of America's Got Talent.
And he was also on Dancing with the Stars.
If I remember, Bill, the Laughing Yogi annoyed the crap out of you. Where you wanted
to
kill
him.
Yeah,
I hate the Laughing Yogi.
But here is
about as much as I hate the crunk off that I ever crunk up.
Yeah, what is that? Who told me that? Was it in the forum? Was it Swiley? That it's crunka? Crunka.
Crunka.
And I think it's, I always thought it was crunk up.
Crunk up. Crunk up. Crunk up.
I mean, really, does it matter?
It sounds like crunk up. It matters, Bill. But here is the ringtone I'm most proud of. Steven,
American
can you...
Player?
America's Player ringtone! Yeah! Oh, and we'll talk about this later, you know, Big Brother. But I was like, I wonder since Dan's America's Player, if they're going to bring back that music. And what happens? All of a sudden, Dan comes out. I was like, of course, they always recycle music on this show. Awesome. How gay was that? Seriously, Bill.
But that was really incredibly homosexual.
I made up this ringtone for Vanessa specifically. See, Bill, I'm sure you know what it is. You know what that is?
That's really terrible music.
It is. It's like this all like... It's like goofy, you know, simplistic.
Yeah, it's synthesizer music.
Yeah, and I also made the Corey Springtime Flowers ringtone.
Oh, I might need to grab that.
Good times. Oh, and what was the other one? The Halo ringtone.
Yeah, that.
See, that just has to be made into a ringtone, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, totally. And then you save that little part for the end where... Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
That rocks.
Now, if you'd like to support NIM, you know, throw us a donation. You'll get access to the download page, and we appreciate it very much. And let's go ahead and move on to a couple of things, Bill. I read today, and I just had to bring this up because, you know, it's a rumor that Shane Black is writing possibly a new Lethal Weapon movie, like they're old and retired or something. I mean, hey, if it's true and Shane Black, the guy who created Lethal Weapon in the first place, has an idea, then yeah. It's probably good.
And if he's willing to do it, that's a good sign. But
the rumor is he delivered a treatment to Joel Silver.
Maybe he'll finally be able to kill off Riggs.
Yeah, he wanted to in the first movie, right?
Yeah.
I remember he was in this, Edgar Wright did this thing in L.A. where he would screen a film and have the filmmaker there with him. Like he had John Landis and screened American Werewolf in London. He had Timothy Dalton there for Flash Gordon. And so he had Shane Black there and screened, what did he screen besides... possibly. Oh, The Last Boy Scout.
Last Boy Scout, yeah.
Yeah, and he was talking to him about Lethal Weapon and what it became. And Shane Black's a hilarious guy because he's so open about it, just how ridiculous. Like, they had nothing for the characters to do in the fourth one. Like, Roger's wife had money, and they all thought that, you know, he had, like, internal affairs investigating him because he was too embarrassed to tell everyone that his wife was a romance novelist and making all sorts of
novel
money.
Writer.
Like, who cares? That's a total non.
Yeah, he would prefer for internal affairs to look into it and not let them know because it's too embarrassing. What?
Jeez, what about the whole storyline of them keeping the Chinese immigrants in their home?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
He's got a good point about that. It just got a little ridiculous there. Yeah.
3 and 4 were a little much.
Yeah, 3, my main problem with 3, besides, you know, I can still watch it. It's very watchable, right? But the bad guy is so just bad.
Yeah, the bad guy's terrible. The cop killing bullets, it's just...
The young kid who gets killed by the cop killer bullets.
And then it goes to the funeral and the Boys to Men song is playing.
The guy's shot and Riggs is like, he's holding the kid and the kid goes, Riggs! And he goes... Happy birthday, kid, because it was his birthday, and the kid dies in his arms or whatever. Yeah. It's like, oh, my God, so bad.
Happy birthday, so hard to say goodbye.
I don't think I've seen that in a long time. I know I've wanted to.
You know what? I take it back. 3 is as bad as 4. It really is.
3, the worst part is, like, the end part whenever the bad guy is on the bulldozer. And he's like, yeah, I'll bulldoze you, Riggs.
And no, he's got Riggs, yeah. Cop killers! And
cop
throws the back
bullets.
It shoots right through the friggin' tractor or whatever.
The
scoop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they light all the construction homes on
fire. Remember what the guy's doing is he's selling these cop killer bullets right to build his own housing development.
What? Cop killer bullet factory is...
He's got a housing development. That's his big scheme.
And there's a couple specials in that housing development, a body or two in the concrete of the sidewalks.
Yeah, he was a really evil cop, wasn't he?
Evil.
Very evil. Wow, that was bad. So hopefully maybe this Lethal Weapon 5 isn't happening because it sounds like a really bad. But if Shane Black's involved, maybe it'll be good. But you never know with these rumor things. But I just had to mention it.
Kill them both off.
Oh, of course, and the dog, the Rottweiler that is in the one warehouse, and Riggs kind of gets along with it and eats dog biscuits with it.
Oh, yeah, and remember later on he's like, and the dog comes with him.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I know that movie like the back of my hand. You know, I know all of them. I love those movies.
Do you remember in the beginning, Riggs and Murtaugh are busted down to beat cops again?
They have to wear the uniforms and everything.
Yeah, and there's a scene where they're just talking. These guys can just be anywhere, and they'll stumble on something. They're just standing there, and these guys are robbing a friggin' armored car right in front of them. They're like, wait, hold a second, Raj. And you see the guy, he's like, freeze! And he's got, and it's like that simple. They get into action. All they got to do is stand there, and something happens.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
It's, yeah, 3 was pretty terrible. 2 was pretty close to terrible, but it was okay.
At least 4 had Jet Li in it, right? He can take apart a gun in just one movement of his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, another thing is, you remember we've joked about how like Harry Knowles will do like script reviews online, like, hey, review so-and-so. I saw today that there's a review. I don't know who did it. I don't think it was Harry, but... of the V script. Apparently they want to turn V into basically a movie franchise.
Who wrote it?
Which I endorse. Kenneth Johnson, the guy who created V.
Oh, okay, great.
I fully endorse this. I remember one day I was talking, I don't know if Andy's listening, but I was talking to Andy about V, and Andy totally trashed V, saying how cheesy it was and how bad the effects were. And I was truly hurt by this. Because, come on, think of when it was made. The effects were good at the time, right? For TV?
It scared the shit out of me as a kid.
What, the lizards?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I remember watching that. And the effects were cheesy, the UFO, all that stuff. But it still was, you know, affecting to a 10-year-old kid or whatever it was.
Now that you mention it, I remember there's a part where Mark Singer sneaks aboard the ship when they still think the aliens are friendly, and he's hiding like in a closet, and he sees them
peel the mask
eats a mouse. He's like, ow. And his Asian buddy that's there, the cameraman, he gets like some kind of lizard spit in his face, and he's like, ah! And Mark's like,
lizard spit!
It's tobacco! But Mark Singer has to abandon him, and you never see the guy again. But that was scary, man. They spit shit in your eyes, so. I'm
like
really
cobras.
Excited about V. I don't know how it'll be, but studios these days, they're going to throw a crap load of money at this if they make it.
Is this going to be like a remake of, like, Battlestar, you know, is it going to be a sci-fi thing? Or
basically, are they saying a movie, though, a movie?
Right. Basically, what it is, Kenneth Johnson, you know, how they had the miniseries, the original miniseries. Mm-hmm, it ended kind of a down note. The aliens were taking over. There were humans even joining the aliens, becoming like officers and stuff, and ratting out their families and stuff like that. They kind of explored that in Battlestar Galactica, but V did it first in a way. It was all an allegory to the Nazi occupation. Nope. Now, he ended up quitting because NBC wanted to take it in a different direction, and you know, he just quit over creative differences. Then they came back with the second part of V miniseries. And then you had the impregnated alien baby, or the chick had an alien baby, and all this crap. And
All I have to say is, if they're going to work on a V series, why not bring back Alien Nation? I loved Alien Nation.
I did too. But see, what
the
I was going to say,
the movie was great. The TV series was terrific.
The original creator of V didn't have anything to do with like the series or whatever. And if you remember, the very first miniseries ended with them putting a call out for help. Maybe these aliens have enemies themselves. Let's ask for their help. He said they never explored that. They're like, nobody else did. He wanted to do that, but, you know, he quit the show. But he released a book that explored that. It's like a continuation of the miniseries.
It's like a giant race of...
So, basically...
Of like, what are those, Riki Tiki Tavi, that little...
Ferrets?
No.
Mongoose?
Mongoose.
A mongoose race.
Really come to...
Eat the lizards.
Good Lord, I thought he was going into Beastmaster territory. I didn't know what he was
doing. Poto and Poto. No,
my
but,
friends.
But see, he's got a whole complete story, and I'm really excited to see it. Hey, Star Wars has failed us. Let's get V, right? Because, Andy, we all know that V is better than Star Wars, right? Okay. I'm just trying to bait
him.
I'm
typing in the chat room there. They're asking what your V was, and I think it was 1983. I just remember as a kid, I saw it like when I was 8 years old. They showed the entire series on HBO without commercials.
Oh, nice.
And that's how I saw it.
You know, I've got the miniseries on DVD, and I listened to the commentary while I was watching it, and I was planning on buying the continuation DVD, but when I heard the Kenneth Johnson say, and I have nothing to do with the follow-up series. I actually quit over creative differences, so that's actually none of my work. Mm-hmm. I was actually like, well, you know what? I'm not going to watch it then.
No.
If this has nothing to do with the original creator. And he's like, I don't even watch it. I have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of like, it's my baby. I don't want to see how they ruined it. But it's really cool. And he even gives his email address in the commentary. And he says, if you write me, I'll email you back. So how cool is that? So
I think some of the people in the chat room are a little confused. The series, the television series was on. We're talking about the miniseries, the original.
Yeah.
Whereas the television series was not approved by Kenneth Johnson.
Yeah, it's the same characters and the same premise, but went to a direction he wasn't expecting. And
yeah, the miniseries was, how was it, eight episodes? Or
I think maybe seven.
No. It's
not
wasn't
that
long,
actually. I'm thinking maybe
six
it was
or eight. Six
three
or eight.
Four nights, as I remember.
And it fits on, what, two DVDs?
I believe it's one disc.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. It's a dual-layer disc.
It's not that long. I just remember the first night it started, it was like 2 hours. At that time, I had to go to bed at 9 o'clock, and it was halfway through it. My dad was like, all right, time for bed. I was like, what? What
is but V.
I'm watching V.
It's 197 minutes. Just looked.
All right. So, yeah. So definitely check that out. And I want to get that book. Bill, I remember talking to you about this book. I got to get
the second generation book.
Yeah. We're going to check that out. Okay. You know what? Let's check out entertainment. I've talked about this too long. Entertainment!
That's not an MP. That's a YP. Your problem.
Oh, sorry. Well, Pineapple Express came out this weekend. Is everybody going to go see it?
I'll probably see it on Monday.
I'm on vacation. I can do whatever I want.
I got crap I got to get done this week, but I'm going to try and get to see it.
I want to see a hilarious pot movie. Come on. That stuff
It'd be funnier
hilarious.
If I had some.
You know what? I actually read a review where the guy said that, you know, this movie is made for potheads. You need to be stoned while seeing it. But I won't be stoned, so will I find it funny? I don't know. Yeah. I laugh at the
unless
little
I flash back to high school about 10, 12 years ago and think about it then. I haven't had any since then.
I was also like, you know, now cigarette smoking is so passe. It's okay for people to smoke pot in movies again, in a way, you know?
It is funny how it comes full circle.
I remember, what was it, the Can't Hardly Wait Jennifer Love Hewitt movie?
Yeah.
I used to listen to commentaries to like every movie. I don't anymore, but I remember that commentary. They had pot references in the movie, and the studio made them take it all out. So yeah. They even had like a stoner guy or whatever. They had to take it all out. And there's even some CGI in the movie you don't realize where somebody has a bong and they turn it into like a balloon. It's really weird.
They would rather them do whippets than smoke pot.
Yeah, if you watch the commentary, they point out to you, okay, this right here, see that? That wasn't there. That was superimposed there. And you're like, holy crap, that's pretty obvious now that you point it out. You never noticed it before.
But, I was too busy looking at Jennifer Love Hewitt's chest.
That's the point, yeah.
But now it's okay for pot and stuff. That all stuff, it's okay to have rated R comedies.
You know what was the Harold and Kumar brought it back?
Well, some would say the Apatow movies, you know, like 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's okay to have rated R movies now. What would you say, Bill? What movie made this okay? The Kevin Smith
what, the
movies?
Rated R comedy or the pot comedy?
The rated R comedies. Because they used to, everything had to be PG-13.
You know what? I think it started edging forward, like, around the time, just before, like, Harold and Kumar came out. They started getting close to around Dude, Where's My Car? Because that was supposed to be R-rated first.
And then they,
and then they cut it down a little bit. So I think,
you know,
around there.
American Pie, were those all PG-13? Then they
no, those were R-rated.
Okay, yeah, I like those.
So
and that
I would,
made a
yeah, American Pie probably kicked it off.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
That was the first R-rated comedy in a, like, that teen comedy in a long time.
Teen
right, and I saw a thing with, it was an article by Stephen King. I don't, Stephen King does articles in Entertainment Weekly, and he talked about how Hollywood can't do big-budget horror, right? It's always the low-budget movies that somebody, like a first-time director, he wants to make his mark, and he does this frightening film.
Well, yeah, whatever. Because they have the imagination, and they don't have the studio system.
Except for like something like Saw makes a shitload of money. We saw the Saw 5 trailer. I was like, oh my gosh. What the hell? How many of these movies are going to make?
But didn't Jigsaw die like 3 Saws ago or something?
I don't even know who that is. I haven't seen a single movie.
That's the Tobin Bell guy.
Incredible series?
I've seen 1 and 2, and sadly I have them on DVD. But I haven't seen past 2.
I've got the first one on DVD, but I have never watched it.
The guy from Lost is in the first one, right? Ben? I remember hearing interview.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right.
Interview with him, and they asked him about, like, you were in Saw. That's an incredibly successful franchise. What was it like? He goes, I still haven't been paid for that movie.
Oh, my gosh.
A lot of the cast members didn't get paid for that movie. And they tried to get their money. He said, I've never received a dime from Saw.
Is that Lionsgate?
I don't know, but I thought that was crazy. I was like, wow, successful as that franchise is, the first movie never got paid for it.
Well, didn't Peter Jackson have an issue with New Line for Lord of the Rings not getting paid properly for it?
He got paid, but he said, where's the rest of my money?
Okay.
He said,
studios, they're greedy, man. It's all business. If they can try and burn the books a little bit, they will.
Well, yeah, that's what I've always understood was you can do your books to make it. Oh, we didn't make a profit off of The Dark Knight. Are you kidding me?
What are you talking
about? The marketing we spent on that.
$600 million?
The budget was $600
million.
You know
how much of those Verizon commercials, Dark Knight commercials we spent? I don't like every time I go to the movies, I see that, you know, these teenagers, they wander into an alley looking for the bat cycle, and these guys are like, hey, you're in the wrong side of town, and then Batman rescues him or whatever. It's really gay.
You know, when did this commercials in theaters start? Because
this is really
starting to piss me off.
It's been around forever, it seems like now.
Yeah, you're right, because every time we look at each other, me and Jason, we were like, we're in the theater, and that Breakfast Club knockoff came on.
Oh,
like,
please, that JCPenney commercial makes me, like, puke in my mouth.
I was just,
but every time we're in the movies, you just hear us go like this,
Yeah, the worst is when it's like, I remember, I think the last time I went to the theater, there was a car for like a Toyota, or an ad for a car from Toyota, and a Pepsi commercial, and a couple other ones, before they even got to the previews.
Yeah, that's the way it is now. Now they have those things where you're sitting there and they'll show like, you know, this new season of The Closer, tune in, you know.
Oh, I haven't seen any of those yet.
They do that at the Rave, don't they?
Yeah.
Stuff like the Rave I go to, they don't do the quizzes at Rave. They do the quizzes at like AMCs and stuff, but I haven't seen any TV commercials at Rave
yet.
Yeah,
they did The Closer and then the one with, what's her name?
Oh, Saving Grace.
Saving Grace. Yeah.
Oh, have you even seen that show? It's terrible.
Now, Bill, are you going to see The Clone Wars in the theater?
In the theater? No. Aren't they showing it on TV like a week later?
Are they?
Yeah, I thought they were. It's like a 3-episode thing.
They're probably showing the previous aired series.
Oh.
Like to coincide with it, maybe?
I don't know. I'm not going to go see it in the theater. I'll read the book. Brock recommended I read the book. I'll read the book.
What book?
Karen Travis, one of my favorite Star Wars Expanded Universe writers, did the adaptation of the Clone Wars book, and supposedly it's much deeper than the movie, so
but
I'll read
the book. It won't have funny animation in the book.
Yeah, I'll pass on the animation.
You'll just have to imagine it, I guess.
Yeah, I'll have to imagine marionettes.
Yeah, like the Thunderbirds.
Big-headed marionette.
All right, well, let's check out what's on our TiVo. All right, guys. All right, Robert Downey Jr. plays a black guy in Tropic Thunder, and he was on Jay Leno.
He was on Jay Leno. Yeah, Steven.
Wow. I haven't heard your Jay Leno in a while, Steven. Come on.
I don't do Jay Leno.
What? Yeah, come on, Steven. Yeah, you do Jay Leno.
See, I don't do Jay Leno.
Wow, that was like... I don't know what Jason was doing.
When I hear...
I don't do voices. I can't.
Come on, Bill. I know you do Leno, too.
No,
come on.
I don't do voices. Sorry.
Yeah, come on, Bill.
Yeah, you do Leno.
No, when anyone's ever on Leno, I picture them dumbing it down for the geriatric crowd.
Like they totally do, because, you know, they put them through a pre-interview to make sure they don't say anything that'll piss Jay off.
Well, they've also got to explain for the 80-year-old set why he's playing a
black man
or a colored man, probably in their generation as they referred to it, which isn't PC anymore, in this movie about the Vietnam. So let's check it out.
You play a white guy playing a black guy.
I play Kurt Lazarus, one of the most self-important actors that's ever existed, who believes that he can portray the black experience more effectively than a black man. It's the stupidest idea I've ever heard. And so wrong, and it was so potentially offensive, and I was like, great script, Ben!
Martha,
what idiot are you
going
to get to play this part?
Right.
But I thought it was either going to turn out pretty well and people would enjoy it and it would be a piece of entertainment or it would be the best way to squander all the goodwill I got from doing Iron Man.
Well, you take chance. And you play an Australian actor, which you're an Australian playing an American,
an African-American
guy.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Down under.
How many hours of makeup is that?
It was a couple hours. It was really hard. Not that I know any more about the black experience having done it. How could I? But it was really... It was really disappointing to have to be white at the end of every day.
Really?
Good stuff, right, Bill?
Hilarious.
Wow. Hey, Masioka was at... Masioka? Is it tapioca?
Tapioca.
Delicious hero pudding. Was on Leno. Leno has these...
Did he beatbox?
That go to, not that I know of. They went to
like every
Comic-Con.
Time he's on a show, they're like, beatbox for us.
Well, he was talking about George Takei, which I thought was funny, or George Takei. You know, everyone mispronounces it, I do. And he talks about how, what George Takei's answer is for that.
I'm here with Masioka from Heroes. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Kicking butt?
Absolutely, kicking some serious butt.
You just premiered the first episode of the new season, and...
It's awesome, and the crowd went nuts.
He's paid to see
so
it, say that.
Your father on the show is George Takei.
Oh, Actually, it's not Takai. It's Takei, as in toupee or toupee. But it's all right to call me Takai because it means expensive in Japanese, and you'd be calling me George Expensive.
Did he say that to you the moment you met him?
He says that if you call him Takai, yep, you'll get that response.
Really?
It's like, you know, an answering machine. It's like,
or Takei, like, Takai. Okay.
Well, my name is not Takai. It's Takei, as in toupee or toupee.
I thought that was pretty funny. That Mossy Mess Tapioca is pretty funny.
That's I've heard him give that same spiel, Takei, that is, on the Howard Stern show.
He's got it just perfectly memorized. Yeah, he says it every time. Now, Richard Simmons, the nightmare that is Richard Simmons, was on Letterman, and he's trying to push this agenda that I think is ridiculous. I'm totally against this agenda that he's pushing. Not a gay agenda. If
that's wondering.
He wants to make PE. I didn't even know this happened. He's making it sound like PE has fallen out of favor in schools.
Yeah, it has.
Has it really? He wants to bring PE back. PE is the most miserable experience.
I hated PE.
I don't care if kids get exercise at all. PE should not be mandatory. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, you got to wear your little gym clothes or whatever. It's horrible.
Well, the worst part of PE is, well, you're getting all sweaty, you know, either you shower or there's the kids who didn't shower and it stunk all day.
Well, not only that, is for some reason the sadistic coach who decides it's dodgeball day.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's always the bigger kids who are beating you in the face with it, and I'm sure he's enjoying it or whatever.
I did enjoy that.
Steven!
Dodgeball, kickball.
You were a mean bully. So let's check
We'd
in.
We'd play
I just had a good
floor hockey.
Oh, floor hockey was a blast. We played that, too.
See, I had a good arm for flinging that ball, you know.
So many welts all over my body from that.
Oh, I did, too. You know, I got it as good as I gave, but...
What are you talking about, Steve?
Playing good dodgeball. Okay.
You know, since he got back from San Francisco.
You know, the thing is that Richard Simmons here, he's trying to talk about his agenda, and if it's funny, his Letterman won't even let him talk.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was me and PE. Let's check it out.
Our kids will have exercise.
That's great.
You have a son. Do you want your son to go to a school with no exercise?
Now, let me tell you something. I heard recently, and I thought this was good, that in major cities, that the level of childhood obesity had leveled off.
Yeah, but there's
and
still...
I took that to be a good sign.
Well, there's still...
And here, I'll tell you something else. Kids in this country, they don't play outdoors enough, and
because
they believe that if they're
so
not playing outdoors,
out there.
It causes ADD. But
Hi,
here's
I'm
the
Richard
point.
Simmons, and Dave just doesn't seem to care. But if you would go to my website, and you could help me get P.E. back in the school system. We need P.E. in the school system.
Get the fire extinguisher. Get the fire extinguisher out.
We need
get off the couch.
Our kids to be fit.
Hey, I ain't Oprah. Couch. Get off the furniture.
Really?
Hey, what?
Get off the furniture.
I'm really? Standing on the
get
couch.
Off.
He said, I ain't Oprah.
Oh,
he's frightening.
That bit is getting so old.
I know it's, but
let's have Richard Simmons on and then treat him like shit.
And he acts crazy. He's got
He's
got those big old wind shorts. So when he's standing kind of above your eye level, it's kind of creepy.
You can see his ball sack.
Oh, hello. That's scary.
I think the best Richard Simmons bit ever of all time was back in the early 90s when Howard Stern had his Channel 9 show, and he made Richard Simmons dress like a normal person in a suit, tie, everything, and for a roast or something. And he was so out of his element, just dressed in normal clothes. It was fascinating.
I mean, he is insane, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Completely insane.
Yeah.
Now, we all know VH1 has these horrible shows on television. Like we talked about the I Love Money show. Now, New York. Remember, New York was a chick who was on Flavor of Love. That she got I Love New York, her own show, where men were vying for her attention, gangbangers or something. Now she's on New York Goes to Hollywood, where she wants to be an actress. And in this scene, she's auditioning.
Oh,
let's
boy,
check it out.
This is terrific.
She's incredibly talented.
All you wanted me to do was pick up dog at 6:30 in the afternoon
when I'm supposed to be catching my bus back home. But you know what? Compared to cleaning up after that big-ass beast of yours out there in the lawn, catching that bus looks like catching a stretch limit on me right about now.
Oh. Hmm.
She's a hit.
Even though I might not be the best actress yet, I think I nailed it.
Was she acting? I thought that was her real line. That was her.
Was that in front of a studio audience?
That was in front of talent scouts. She was doing her reading. Yeah, a monologue from I guess a Tennessee Williams play.
Okay,
something about dog.
You sure it wasn't Tyler Perry?
Dog.
Yeah, it probably was Tyler Perry. Now, Bill, you've seen the show Flipping Out, right? With this guy.
I have seen it, I wish I haven't.
He's very into flipping homes. And
he loves his Botox and his lip college.
He's got the biggest lips.
Oh, biggest fake lips I've ever seen.
He's got a lot of dogs, and you know, he treats everyone like crap. Well, with a certain plumber we all know this famous plumber. He has a run-in with this plumber. Let's check it out.
Am I the leader?
All right. Watch your attitude, Mario.
I don't have an attitude.
Yeah, you do, Mario. If you want to continue working for me.
I'm working for them today. Sorry, Jeff. They're paying the bill, not you.
The reason you have this job, Mario, is because of me.
I don't want to hear it, okay?
That's all right. Please. This is the last job for you'll be working for me or Ryan or Brown Design or anyone else.
Whatever.
Mario, let me tell you something. They're not going to write the check until I instruct them to. So I suggest you start treating with a little more respect. Because you won't get paid. Seriously.
Punchy, man.
No, you're the one that needs to relax, Mario.
Relax.
I cannot believe how you're behaving. There's much business as I've given you. I will never work with Mario again. I will go out of my way to make sure
that people hire Luigi, though?
Another moving company after what he
did. I don't know. I think he's sour on the whole Mushroom Kingdom.
I'm not going to go out of my way. I'm not going to place like billboards on Sunset.
The Koopas will never hire you again.
It was like $25,000. But anyone that I referred him before, I will make sure they get a text, an email, and a follow-up voicemail.
Oh. Ooh, you ruined his life.
You know what? I would take that as a badge of honor. This douchebag won't work with me.
I couldn't work for this douchebag.
It's like, have you seen the TV show, guys? You understand, right? Come on.
Yeah, all you gotta do is send him a videotape of the show. It's like, here you go. You'll understand.
I am no worker for you. It's a me, Mario.
Watch your attitude, Mario.
Great times. Now, I know I don't watch Project Runway. None of us do. But Steven is a tribute to San Francisco. It's just hearing a bunch of people getting angry and talking about things. So let's go ahead and listen to that. And, you know, I accept all lifestyles. I have no judgment against them. But I love the bitchiness in the voices. It's great.
I wanted to modernize it, so I looked at some of the more modern things that were going on. And I noticed very vibrant colors, and I kind of took that element, infused the two together, and I came up with this look.
I wasn't able to get anything Olympic out of the outfit. There's just nothing athletic about it.
I don't see this having any relevance with the challenge.
It makes my loins quiver.
How would we know this is the U.S. Olympic team?
They did the Olympic outfits or something.
Where's the blue?
This is blue.
There is no way this is blue. Is your shirt blue too that you have on under your jacket?
No, this purple. Is purple.
That Guess what? You
that
match.
That looks the same. You guys match.
The color is very saturated, and with all honesty, it does change a bit in the light.
Maybe if you played with the colors a little bit.
I did initially. I started doing a jacket. It just ended up looking
Don't
like
play with
one.
Your colors
Listen,
too hard. I want some later.
I don't know where she's from. I don't know. She's from the Republic of Cocktail Land.
Now, I know,
oh, that's so witty.
I know it's women and men on the show competing in... You know, I've watched a couple of seasons. I've watched it before. I mean, can you be straight in design clothes is what I'm curious about. Is it possible?
Is that Tommy Hilfiger gay? Or
no? I don't know.
I mean, there's plenty of male designers out there, but are they all gay?
Or is it Calvin that's straight?
Some of them have to like vagina.
I don't think Calvin Klein is straight, is he?
I can't remember. It's either Tommy Ralph or Lauren. Calvin. It's one of those two top guys.
What about Levi Strauss? Is he straight?
Oh, he was way back
totally.
When.
Yeah, I think he died a long time ago.
All right. Well, none of us have watched Sunset Tan, have we?
Who?
Sunset Tan on E.
That's with the Ollie girls, right?
Yeah, the bimbo blonde chicks.
I've seen that at my sister's house. God, is that terrible?
Well, this week on the show, they got a job doing the nude sushi tray thing, where they lay down and people eat sushi off of you.
Oh, like in the most recent Sex in the City movie.
Oh, did that happen in that?
Yeah.
How was that, Bill?
That was pretty friggin' terrible.
Pretty painful.
I had to go see it with Shannon, the sister that did the show.
Oh, you never mentioned that you went to see it.
Yeah, well, I was trying to forget it. thanks for bringing this up.
We never had a review from you about it.
Yeah, well...
he's trying to forget.
yeah. I had to literally duct tape my penis back on after watching it.
A scale of 1 to 10. What was the movie?
Honestly, I would give it about a 4. It wasn't god-awful, but holy shit, was it bad.
Well,
even my sister, who's a huge fan of Sex in the City, didn't like it.
Wow.
So there you go.
All right, well, let's check out Sunset Tan.
The temp agency couldn't find us a job. Another day without a job is really bad news. So we found a bunch of other jobs. I literally felt like a piece of meat.
I like that stereotypical Asian
ew.
Music.
Someone was having a private party and they wanted to serve the sushi in a different way. We were the decoration.
Ew. So
your producers didn't arrange this at all for the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me, that's not fish.
Yeah.
So I haven't really watched this show, but I'm definitely going to check it out now. What about you, Steven?
I'll watch it once.
It's really, it's really good. Bad.
Now... Well,
we've watched really bad things.
We watched Big Brother. We watched...
The
Playboy Bunnies that go traveling, that they everything they say they do right after...
Oh.
Well, then we got
I don't think they're Playboy Bunnies, though. It's the
bikini
show...
Bikini Models.
Get Out. Bill, you know I've talked about that Get Out. It's the girls are in bikinis and they'll...
Oh, that is quite possibly one of the best shows on television.
It's women in bikinis visiting places,
yeah.
But they narrate it.
They narrate
so
it.
We walk down the street. It shows them walking down the street. Oh, and then we wait.
Found and it's that yeah. really annoying, ugly blonde chick with like the horse face that leads...
Oh,
more
come on.
Attractive
she's not,
models
I wouldn't
around.
Say she's ugly.
She's not attractive.
I think she's cute. Come on. Except
maybe
for
I'm
the
thinking
show.
Of the wrong show, but this chick is kind of, you know.
You're talking about Lindsay, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boo.
Well, okay, we disagree on that, but
she's
still.
She's not
the show,
your type.
I mean, they even,
she's definitely
they
not
even
ugly,
describe
though.
How they shop. We went to this little store.
And then they show him walking to the store or whatever.
Yeah. And she found this really cute ornament. And then they show
her picking up an ornament.
Who is the audience for the show? It's certainly not women.
Well, it's on a night that HDNet calls Guys Night In.
Yeah,
so
it's guys that want to watch a show with girls in bikinis, but...
Yeah.
Do they want this narration?
They don't want to watch them shopping.
Yeah.
They could go to the mall with their significant other if they wanted to watch them shop.
I mean, all they got to do is just turn off the volume and turn on the radio.
Honestly, the best show on HDNet is Bikini Destinations.
Yeah, honestly.
Because all you got to do is turn it on, turn down the volume, and just watch women writhe around in a bikini, and you don't have to hear their annoying voice talk about what they want to do in life.
Yeah, but even that...
I really
want to
be an actress.
Bikini Destinations is kind of embarrassing. It's like, because you're watching it and you're like, I really am just a simple creature. You know, that's really how you
feel.
Well,
it's simple pleasures. Hey, Hey, there's nothing more satisfying to a heterosexual man than watching some woman ride around in her bikini. The best one is whenever they do them in, like, the cities, and there's, like, these guys leering from bridges above there, looking at the women.
There's peasant children starving, and they're walking around in their bikinis or whatever poses. It's like, give the kid a sandwich.
The chick's wearing a $10,000 bikini.
This week, the bikini girls go to Cambodia for a delicious vacation.
There was one of them wearing a $1 million ice, you know, diamond bikini.
she's in this leopard print in the middle of this bombed out area of Serbia, and there's all these kids around watching, and she's just like moving all slowly to the music that sounds like Enya, and like it's like,
it's in high
def. This is really
flies flying around the kids' heads and stuff.
Oh, that would be awesome. Bikini Destinations Ethiopia.
Oh.
Now
she could like use the bags of rice as like a couch.
No, she's writhing around in the rice.
Oh,
now you like just want to talk about bad
hot
television
flavored rice.
Now bad television. There's this new show called I Want to Work for Diddy.
Diddy,
where people all want to work for Diddy. I guess they want to be his personal assistant or something. Sounds kind of like The Apprentice in a way.
Yeah, that's a...
But, of course, it's a bunch of women who... Because on all these shows, the way you get good reality television, you have to have women who fight, verbally argue with each other. Hopefully, they also threaten violence to one another. That's even better.
That's
right?
The key.
So let's check this out. Is these two women really aren't getting along.
We have a red phone message that Diddy's car needs to be washed. Brianna seems to think that you guys should go wash the car.
I sure do think that they should wash the car, but you didn't call Malik.
Listen, wait a minute. I want that opinion.
Now you
want
to do the team?
No, because...
No,
will you shut up?
No, I don't want to
What's
shut
going
up because
on?
You shut up.
Right? They can't hear.
You
want to
stay
That's
and you don't let nobody talk.
I know you better step off.
No, I don't care.
I know you better step off.
Oh, I thought somebody had to wash
like
Diddy's car.
I know.
Take it to a friend.
Look, Chevron. Please don't let me out the seat.
Take it to Earl Shine.
Whip this girl's ass on live damn TV.
It's irrelevant.
They're it's not irrelevant. You ain't been listening to nobody. Everybody been listening to you.
Excuse me.
If it's a red phone thing, then we have to do this right now.
You're ignorant and you're ghetto. And
what the hell do you think?
You're ghetto.
Step on.
Yeah.
Good
that sounds
God.
Like a really terrific version of The Apprentice.
Have you ever actually been an argument with someone who won't shut the F up? They won't just stop talking or listen. You just want to punch them in the face. That's why violence is sometimes necessary.
Honestly, I don't think I ever have, but it seems like everyone on a reality show has.
Yeah, it's just like...
No, because if it happened to my site, I'd kick them off it, you know? Be like, go home, see ya.
It's like, no, I ain't playing that, Steven. No, stop
I ain't playing that game, bitch.
They don't understand. They don't mess. And it sounds really arrogant.
You don't,
me, but
mess,
they don't mess
with Steven.
Me. No, because I'm really thought highly of in my company.
Have you ever,
I called my boss and told him,
I will predator-snort your ass.
Have you ever had anyone say something to you, Steven, like, you really want to do this, man? I'll bust you up or something like that, like threaten violence.
Not violence, but, you know.
I'll strangle you with this Cat 5e.
That's scary.
I'll strangle you with the patch cable.
No, I'll strangle you with this Cat 6,
but it's
bitch.
Just like, later on we're going to talk about Corey Haim. He's always talking about knocking somebody out. Like, come on, dude. Calm down.
Well, he's a child of the 90s. That's the...
It was legal to punch people in the 90s. Or the 80s. Or in Brooklyn, it's okay to punch people.
In what world is it okay to, like, to punch somebody? Honestly.
I want
to
knock you out. I'll knock you out.
I mean, the last time I remember ever getting in a fight with somebody, like an actual fist fight, was as a kid on the playground in the 80s, and it was more of a slap fight. So, I mean, when was the last time you could actually get in a fight with someone and not get sued?
A slap fight? Was it with the girl?
No, it was some douchebag that stole the swing I wanted.
Just to give him a nice smack.
Well, it was a really cool swing because it was like kind of like a cowboy with a big hat and the arms stuck out and the swings hung down off of the arms. And I wanted that swing because that was my favorite swing, and this asshole took it.
So you pimp slapped him?
So I pushed him off the swing, and then he turned around and punched me, and then we got into like a slap fight.
Oh my God.
It's nothing big, you know. I kicked his ass.
Awesome.
Nice.
So what do you guys say we take a break and we come right back and we talk about Big Brother than the two Corys?
Butte.
Let's do it.
This beautiful southern mansion is home to the world-class cuisine of Anthony's in Atlanta. Tonight, we're secretly replacing Anthony's regular coffee with dark, sparkling, decaffeinated Folgers crystals. Will it be rich enough for our special guests?
It has a very good flavor to it.
Rich.
It's decaffeinated Folgers crystals.
This is instant coffee.
Are you serious?
That's amazing. Really, really good. I'm really amazed because it is delicious.
Decaffeinated Folgers crystals. Coffee rich enough to be served in America's finest restaurants.
If you're not playing on a 3DO system, what are you playing with? Presenting 3DO, the most advanced home gaming system in the universe. It's time to put away your toys.
Get a free John Madden football and Crash and Burn when you buy a 3DO system.
Be a winner at the game of life.
Find a job.
I'm a doctor.
Have money, maybe.
Get married.
Have a baby.
I got it. Win.
Take a chance.
Game of life.
I win the lottery.
Find romance.
You can win or get stuck.
I inherited a stock farm.
Be a winner at the game of life.
Women are stupid and I don't respect them. That's right, I just have sex with them. Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Genitalia.
Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Genitalia.
You're talking to me about stuff. Why? I'd rather see your titties. Now you're talking about other stuff. Why? I'd much rather see your titties. Can't have sex with your personality, and I can't put my penis in your college degree, and I can't shove my fist in your childhood dreams, so why are you sharing all this information with me? It's not sexist because I'm saying it in a song. That's right, bitch. Now take off your thong and show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Your genitalia.
Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Your genitalia.
Knock, knock, who's there? It's me, wondering why you're not naked. Knock, knock, who's there? Me again, still wondering why you're not naked. I wanna see your bum, I don't care what you say. No, I don't have feelings, cause feelings are gay. Something, something in the month of May. Bitches love my penis cause it's really big. Girls' brains are much stupider than men's are, so they should always listen to us cause we're smart. Women are only good for three things: cooking, cleaning, and vaginas. Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Your genitalia.
Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Your genitalia.
I can give good sex to you, cause I'm really good at sex. I can give good sex to you, cause I'm really good at sex. Yeah, that's right. Shake your bums. I'm out of here. I gotta go have sex with a lot of girls.
TurboGrafx 16 is about to knock video games back into the Stone Age. It's 10,000 years ago. You're a cave dude. You are carnivorous. You've got to bonk 28 stages of prehistoric bad guys to rescue your excellent-looking princess. And you've only got one weapon. Bonk's Adventure.
Buy TurboGrafx 16 now and get one of 38 selected games free.
Imagine a world where time drifts slowly. A world where music carries you away. Experience pure moods, the perfect soundtrack for your way of life. Direct from Europe, this multi-platinum collection has won the hearts of millions. Set adrift with the timeless pleasures of tubular bells. Or take a trip into the unknown with the X-Files theme. No other collection gives you the feeling of pure moods. To order Pure Moods, call the number on your screen or send check or money order for the amount shown, plus shipping and handling. Rush delivery available. Call now.
Hi, doggy. Nice doggy. Here, boy. Come on. Hi, fella. Hey!
Don't run!
Mutt!
Walk away slowly.
He tried to bite me.
Never try to pet an animal you don't know. He may be lost, sick, or scared.
You mean he might be dangerous?
That's right. If we don't know, we leave him alone.
And we don't get bit. Now I know.
And no one is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
We're back. It's the simple pleasures. Is Bill back? Did he come back?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. I didn't leave. I
awesome.
Took care of my business before the break.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Before it even started. I'm not drinking as much as I normally am. And by drinking, I mean water, not booze.
I got you. I hear you.
Ew.
Sometimes booze, but not now.
So let's talk about Big Brother real quick. They finally got rid of Jesse. Now, but this,
you know, and he totally overstayed his welcome. At first, he was funny, you know, the narcissistic, you know, knobhead. But
you know what?
Oof.
You know, they did the America's Player, where America got to vote who Dan wanted out, right?
Yeah.
And I honestly got so sick of Libra and April and them that I'd rather them.
Oh yeah.
Had kept him in the house just to annoy the crap out of them.
Well, that's true. I can't wait till Libra and April go. But with what's the Portuguese annoying chick's name?
Michelle.
She just won head of household. So
yeah, I'm
one of the people we like will be
her.
Gone now.
Yeah, I'm rooting more for her now just based on the fact that I know the people I don't like her or she's against them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
well, I've really grown to despise that Jerry. He's just an asshole of epic proportions.
Oh, I know. Like these, you saw where he was trying to talk to one of them. I think it was Libra. He was like, "Now just shut up a minute." And she was like,
yeah.
"Don't tell me to shut up. You can't talk to me like that." I think he's used to talking to women like that. You know, just shut up, woman.
Oh, yeah.
Let me talk.
I'm a Marine.
But there was this episode this week. It was Keisha's birthday, and it was like the worst fight. Everybody was fighting in the house. Just everybody. The best part about this is Jesse, he's sleeping in bed, and Keisha and Libra are in an alliance with April. April's not there, so they're just bitching about April together. So he's like, okay, well, you know, they're bitching about her, and you can hear it through the wall. I'm going to go tell April and just start some shit. So he goes to do it, and so she needs to go down there and say, I heard you guys are talking about me and all this stuff. And let's just listen to this clip. It's just, it's funny how someone can go, I'm so sorry, did you hear about so-and-so? And that person, no one ever stops to think, okay, let me think about this. Who's
yeah.
telling me that? They're always like, well, I'm going to go
honestly,
confront them.
Even with that, Like, Jesse could have just said what was said. Instead, he has to embellish it to make it sound worse than it is.
Right.
And by doing that, he creates more drama that then comes back on him. Right. If he just would have said what was said, he'd probably still be there, honestly.
The whole running to tell somebody something, because even Jerry's guilty of it, because Memphis is in the other room laughing, like these crazy 30-year-old women. And Jerry like goes out and goes, Memphis is in there laughing at you guys. You know, it's just like, it's so funny, but let's check this
out. Memphis is in there laughing at you guys.
Did you go tell April stuff that I said?
I've been over here sitting with Rennie. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Stupid, and when I try to confront her about it, she completely ignores me. I'll deal with you later, little bitch.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know
what
you...
You know what's funny? She denies talking shit about April, but then leaves the room to talk more shit about her to everyone else. It's funny.
It was as if you were the only one that's going to be playing this competition. I wasn't in it, and that you're going to be the only one. You felt that way, but it had nothing to do with that.
When you're in this position and you place those two people up and you want it to stay that way, you feel a lot of pressure on yourself.
Little bitch, don't walk into the room and throw things at me because you
and by the way, she's not telling April this. She's telling this to invisible April because April's in the other room.
Well, April needs to just like avoid people. I mean, I guess they don't know it, but we all know it that watch the feeds. April is a skank. I mean, she has had sex with that Ollie more times in different places in that house than I can count. I mean, there's just absolutely no scruples with that. I mean, she puts on a show almost every night for the guys in the control room.
I can't stand when she does it.
She's in love.
She's so behind her.
Your birthday,
Keisha. I don't care. God.
I'm done. You don't want to get upset on your birthday, okay?
If you really want to know how it is, April, I can't stand your guts.
I really love that sound.
She's going in there.
The reason why they came to you.
They have that on friggin' Hell's Kitchen, too.
You know, April, I don't appreciate the way that you just talked to me. I feel that I stood up for you last week.
Hold on.
No, I'm not cussing, but I've given myself time and time and time again.
This is Keisha's birthday.
I mean, and I don't appreciate the way you address me either, April. I'll talk to you later. It's not like that,
she's
though.
She's yelling at me. I want to address one thing at a time. You want me to start yelling at, or both of you start yelling at me?
I don't want to be treated like that.
I cannot have you
like
yelling
that.
Behind me and Libra yelling in front of me. Do you understand what
and
I'm
meanwhile,
saying?
Meanwhile, Jesse's in the other room going,
well, I want to know
who's that. Caused all of this.
Yeah. I want to know who's
I'm a genius.
Who said it, Jesse?
Never mind the steroids are shrinking my testicles.
Oh, my God. Surprise.
Yes.
I mean, I know you don't like Memphis, but Jesse.
This is why, America. This is why you put all 30-year-old women in the house, because they go crazy.
So Memphis says that, and Jerry's like, he's talking about you guys in there. And she's like, we don't really care about that right now. He's like, shut up for a minute. And they're just like, don't tell me to shut up. And the whole time they're waiting to sing Keisha a happy birthday, which is great. Now, in this clip, I laugh my ass off at this, Bill. They're all fighting. Everybody's fighting. Everything's going back and forth. And they get the cake there on the counter. And so finally, they stop fighting to sing her happy birthday, and it's the most like awkward, subdued.
There's like no heart in it.
Yeah, just listen to this when they sing it; it's hilarious.
Who wants to come sing happy birthday?
Let's go. Come on. Let's get this party started.
Yeah, let's get this party.
No tears.
This is happy birthday time. Come on, Keir. Look how beautiful that cake is.
So you have to go get April and Libra. Go get him, Molly.
I said that I was insulted, and for you to come in and start trying to make it happen.
Listen, Libra totally does the never shut up argument.
So you
want
to yell at me for laying down?
I'm not playing your game.
Okay.
Conversation ended.
No, conversation's
no,
not ended.
No, it is ended.
I'm here to defend.
It's over. It's not over. It's
over. You're defending yourself because that's all you want to do. You don't run me. You don't own me.
You're the one yelling
and
screaming.
No, I said,
what does
April,
that even mean?
You're not giving me credit.
Very apparent. Again, defending.
Yeah, I'm defending
conversation
myself.
Over.
Yeah, it's over with you. See, you want to bring it to people, but when it's brought to you, then you don't, okay. I'm tired of you. It's over, Jesse.
Okay, I'm here, so let's hear it.
I know exactly what I said, and I told it to
okay,
April.
Here's what
and you're running
up.
Back and forth.
No, it's over.
He's still yelling.
It's over, Johnny. Nothing is over.
Oh, my God.
Come on, guys, get in here and sing Happy Birthday.
They want to herd me around the corner.
You can say whatever you want.
No, it's apparent that you start, you can't finish.
I'm sitting in here talking with
you
the people.
You can talk all day long to me, Jesse. I'm tired of hearing you talk.
Okay.
Period.
You're not hurting me any.
No, you don't hurt me any.
Okay, so now you're saying whatever mean? I say.
You don't hurt me any, Jesse. Okay. Oh, my God, Jesse. You are so full of yourself, you can't even see it. I'm done with you. I'm sick of you. And you
talking,
get the on my nerves.
Great.
Period.
Okay.
If I could hear any more yelling. Oh, my God. All right, I'll take whoever's in here to sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Keisha. Happy birthday to you.
Dead silence.
Anybody want cake?
Wow, that was awkward.
Ken in the chat room says, people plus camera plus snipers equals entertainment.
Oh, man, I wish.
That would rock.
So basically what I don't think anyone in the house likes anyone. They all hate each other.
What they need to do is like,
do they ever like each other?
Well, there's always two people who are best friends or something. Well, like Ollie and April put up with each other, but isn't she always bitching at Ollie?
Yeah.
You need to have like a remote control paintball gun so they could you could shoot whoever you want.
It's like Double Switch, the Corey Haim Sega CD game where you set off tracks.
Wow.
How sweet would that be, Bill?
Well, no, it's like, okay, get rid of people that whoever gets shot the most.
Well, that's the thing. I never understand when they do this America's Voting. I never am along with America, apparently. Like, I would have chosen Rennie to be America's player.
No, I actually voted for Dan.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I thought it would stir up the most shit.
And he did.
He's really got no affiliation with anybody.
It kind of screwed him up, didn't it? Because
sure.
Jerry's like, hey, you're gonna vote out Memphis, right?
Hey, you whippersnapper.
And he's like, sure, Jerry. And you see Jerry was saying, you're gonna burn in hell for what you done.
Yeah, take a look at my penis.
And he's like, Dan's a Catholic. Apparently he doesn't believe in God. He's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I can't believe you're a Catholic and you don't believe.
Even Rennie was making him swear on the Bible. Why are they always doing that every season? You need to swear on the Bible. It's like, I'll shove that Bible up your ass, all right?
I served in Korea.
Now, I don't know why this happened this week on our show, but every clip has people yelling at each other.
Oh, no.
The two Coreys, they had so much progress going, Steven. They were becoming friends again. They were in therapy. And yes. I'm actually...
I swear, that therapist is incompetent. She really is. They should really look into someone else.
I'm going to blame Corey Feldman, though.
Because Corey Feldman is an asshole.
It's the best A&E can afford.
But listen, Corey Feldman, his whole thing is he's a control freak, right? And Corey Haim is saying that. He's a control freak. He's always like, here's what we need to do. You need to do this or whatever. And he's like, he just wants him to lay off. I want to hang out with him as a buddy.
Just give me a break. Let's be like old times, man. Yeah. Let's forget about all this, you know, craziness. Just help me out. All he needs right now is a friend and support. He doesn't need people telling him what he should do.
And what Corey Feldman's idea is, hey, let's get some people together who have been in the same situation you are, mainly once had a good career. Now, then we're drug addicts, now reformed, and...
You get Todd Bridges, Danny Bonaducci...
Well, basically,
Was Danny Bonaducci there?
No. Basically, what he's saying
Wasn't it Pauly Shore?
Yeah, basically what he's saying is he wants to get a bunch of people that once had a career that ruined it because of drugs together with Corey Haim and talk to him about it. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll hang out with friends and shoot pool or play cards or something, but I don't want to do that. So they agree with the therapist. No, they're not going to do that. Okay, that's out.
Not right now, at least.
Yeah, and Feldman says, well, why don't you come over and see our new house? He's like, okay. So he goes
with the money I bought from the Lost Boys, the Tribe.
Yeah. So what does he do? He shows up, and Todd Bridges is there, and Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
Two guys who ruined their careers because of drug addiction, right?
Yeah, and what does Pauly Shore do right off the bat? Hey, man, do you normally drink in the afternoon? No, it's root beer. Oh,
like,
you smell like alcohol.
He's like, dude, it's root beer.
He's like, dude, I don't drink alcohol because I'm allergic to it.
And when the thing that really bothered me is before he even arrives, Susie Feldman is talking shit about him. Like, oh, he bullshitted us about taking Ativan or something. You know he's taking something worse. So she automatically put it in their head that he's a liar. So when he gets there, and hey, I don't know Corey Haim. Maybe he's a liar. I don't know what he took. It sounded like he snorted something. But anyway, Corey Feldman, through their therapist, was told, don't do this. Do not do this. All it'll do is destroy what you've built up with him, right? So what does he do? He shows up and they're like, hey, man, what are you doing? When's the last time you took something? He's like, what are you talking about? He's like, what are you doing to better yourself? You know, what are you doing? He's like, what the hell is this? Is this an intervention? You're doing an intervention. And Feldman's like, I just care about you. I want you to help you get your career. And he's like, you're doing the shit that I was talking about you always do. And he's like, no, you guys don't understand. This is what Feldman does. And they're like, no, this isn't about Feldman. This is about you, Haim. But I understood what he was talking about. This is exactly what Corey Feldman always does. But Corey Feldman made it look like Haim was just like, I'm a drug addict, and you guys are trying to help me, but I don't want to be helped, so I want to get the hell out of here. You know, he was like, I just want to smoke a cigarette, then I'm going to leave, which I thought was funny. But it was great to see Todd Bridges, though, wasn't it? Doesn't he look great?
Oh, he looks terrific. He's really gotten his life together.
When's he going to work again?
And he was telling them all the stuff, the cliched stuff, like, you need to help you is what you need to do.
Oh, okay. Hey, you should write a book. That's helpful.
That's really true. He got that right out of Dr. Phil's book. You need to help you.
So I understood why Corey Haim got so pissed off and left. And
he had every right to be angry at that situation.
What he thought he was doing, he was going there to hang out with his buddies again. Maybe play some cards or something. He didn't know it was going to be. And they didn't have cards or anything. They were all sitting there ready to confront him. They all pounced on him, didn't you think?
Yeah.
And so he goes home and he's like, whatever, it's over. I'm not friends with Feldman anymore. Screw this. Yeah. So Corey Feldman's like, yeah, I kind of feel bad. Let's go. And I don't know why he takes his wife with him everywhere.
Because she really needs to just find her own place.
She needs to step off because...
step off!
This is about Feldman trying to apologize or whatever, but it just makes it worse where they're saying...
He doesn't even apologize. He's just... He makes the situation worse, and then his wife has to open her fat mouth.
Well, okay, they show up, and they leave a note for... Corey Haim's not home. So they're like, okay, we're going to go eat or whatever. We'll come back. And he sees this note. It's so hilarious. He's like, they're not allowed on my property. Stay the hell off my property. He's like yelling it like they're downstairs or something. But this is basically what happens when they show up and nothing good happens. Yeah. Dramatic music happens.
Shoe delivery. Hey, Corman, you know what? The best thing to do is just get in your car and go the fuck away.
I guess you don't want the shoe?
Take them. Probably need more than I do. They're yours.
Open the door, bitch.
Corey, you call me a bitch again, man, I'll f*** you up. You understand? You call me a bitch again, I'll f***ing drop you now, man. Right the f*** now.
He's gonna shoot him?
What is going on, dude?
What are you doing, problem?
What are you doing?
You do an intervention for me yesterday with...
It was a get together of friends.
Yeah, okay, I need to speak. I don't want
a
you
get together
to speak
of friends
really
who was
don't.
Criticizing how you live.
They're just judgmental friends.
Yeah,
all.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. You. You. Good. Go.
How are they my friends?
Get out of my house. Don't come back. Don't fucking call me.
I won't. If you want to push your.
When was the last time I saw Paul Schuler?
It wasn't a intervention. It doesn't matter. Matters. You took it into your own hands.
No, no,
and
no, 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 no.
Get out of my
don't
house.
Don't worry, I will.
Get out of my place. Just
you know
leave.
Dude,
get the f*** out.
Something. I will leave. It's over. F***ing therapy is
get
over.
The f- yes, get out.
Bullshit
get out of here, man.
I'm done.
Get the f*** out of my house.
You hear that? It's like, Haim's like, get out. Yeah. And exactly. Feldman goes, oh, everything's over then. I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Always.
Don't even waste your breath.
Oh, I'm a bitch. That's fine.
My house. I'm f***ing done. I've done everything I can to help the f***ing guy. He's pathetic.
He is pathetic.
It's the beat guy's like sweating over there, like, oh my god.
I f***ing care.
Ooh.
He had to punch his refrigerator.
Is that the Area 33?
Don't come right here anymore, okay? It's where I live. Stay the f*** away from where I live.
Yeah, yeah. Take another f***ing pill, dude. Take another pill. Go f*** some more people over.
Good performance, Corey.
It's not a performance. That's a fact.
Okay, Jack. Yeah, you know me.
Go call your f***ing
no.
Dude,
I've tried to care about
what
you.
What did you say about my mother, Susan?
F*** you.
Dude, get the f*** out of here, man. That's insulting about the mother thing. This is super personal. Get the f*** out of here.
What f***ing mother has made your life hell, dude?
Oh, and your mom's great. You're out.
Why don't they just leave?
Your life up? Your
why did they even
great.
Go there?
Yeah, the crack-smoking drunk's your mom. The whore, yeah.
I love your mom, but she enables your ass to be a drug addict lying child. Oh,
wow.
Dude, you're so mature, you f***ing piece of dude. Oh.
Bitch, talk about my mother again. He pulls around again. I'm throwing a fucking rock through his fucking windshield at her forehead.
Little bitch. Who the fuck you think that you're talking to?
Oh my god.
I love how it's I'll throw a rock through his windshield and hit her
in the forehead. Like,
how many bleeps was in that clip? My
I lost count.
Now, how
so much drama.
How much of this episode was manufactured? How much of it? It seemed kind of real to me in a way.
Yeah, that was a little too real to be. The only thing that sounded fake was Haim going on and on about take another pill and stuff.
Right.
The manufacturing part was only the part where Todd and him showed up at the, you know.
Do you think the producers are like, have them there?
Yeah,
Let's create.
Oh, totally.
Drama. Yeah, that was all manufactured. After that was
the last,
just Haim blowing.
Remember I talked about the last two episodes didn't do that kind of bad reality show editing and stuff? But
no,
they were back to it this week. There was a part where they show him, Corey Haim, smoking and getting all manic, and the stuff like saturates, it stutters, the film is stuttering. It shows him going on some kind of drug trip. Then all of a sudden he's throwing his canvases, he's manically painting.
Like, yeah, the Jackson Pollock stuff was a little too much this week.
Oh, man. At least
it had this horrible music, like, can I tear my world in two?
At least they didn't have him painting over the lens again like they've done.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh, this would be a really dramatic shot if you paint over the lens.
Paint on a piece of plexiglass.
Like, I'll end you, man. I will drop you right now.
It's like any other normal fight would be like, just leave. Just go. I don't
open the door, bitch.
Yo, what did you say?
Yeah,
say that.
Please.
I love it. It's like, say hi to your mom. No, what did you say
about
my mom?
He was calling him a bitch as a term of endearment.
Yeah, open the door, bitch. Come on. But, yeah,
open
they just...
the door, you see, sucker!
It's obvious that they all lost it. You know, they've had this pent-up frustration, and I think it'll all be better next week. That wasn't the finale.
Oh, I'm sure.
There's going to be a new episode.
They'll be singing Kumbaya around a campfire next week.
Do you think they should be friends anymore? I don't
know.
No,
they're
mean...
horrible for one another.
It's really just not good, especially the wife getting involved. She never should have been involved.
Yeah,
period.
The wife needs to just shut up and get lost.
She never should have even been there. It should have been like, remember that time he's like, I don't even know why Susie's here in this session, and she was there. Why?
Well, it's because she's a camera whore.
Well, I mean,
she needs always to be involved with things.
It's not going to help also your friendship to be. I mean, seriously, I know they need a show. Corey Haim needs a show for probably pay bills and stuff, but to go to therapy and have it air on TV and stuff and have a producer manipulating things, is it going to help your life at all?
No.
No.
So I don't understand.
Like, who's going to cast him in anything?
Right.
You know, seeing if they're seeing this, I'm sure they are.
Well, he's already been cast in Crank 2 and shot that, so he is getting work.
I honestly, do you guys think that he is using drugs? Even though he says he's
yeah, not? Sure he is. I mean, any addict never stops.
I mean, he said that he took an extra pill of his prescription medication.
Hey, you know what? I've taken an extra Xanax and been pretty out of it whenever I have a panic attack or something.
He
but
said Ativan. What is that?
Ativan is an ADD drug, so it's a stimulant. That wouldn't make you like he was.
Really?
No. Well, if anything, it would make
you...
You've
got to think your body chemistry to different people. Pills act differently.
He acts hyper anyway, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't it supposed to calm him down?
So, no, actually, it's kind of a – it's not a sedative as much as it focuses you. It does something with the brain. It's very – I can't explain it.
I would almost say he's not taking his prescription medication because he's acting all over the place. He's just – he's always got a freaking cigarette in his mouth.
Many, maybe it affects you opposite if you take multiples or, you know, if you get too much.
He's definitely messed up. The worst thing for him to do is be on a reality television show.
Be back in Hollywood again with all the, you know, like he said, you know, everybody he meets is an actor. Mm-hmm. He wants to meet normal people.
It's now,
like, let's move to Hollywood and be friends with him.
Yeah, it's just bad.
We just need friends.
Now, I talked about
Generation
Kill. It
just makes me feel bad, the whole thing. It's just, oh.
Yeah, it does.
About it anymore.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the guy. But, okay. I didn't get to watch Generation Kill this week, but it's a good show. But I do want to talk about, I realized I'd never talked about The Middleman. Now, this show is on ABC Family. It's a really silly, goofy show. It's like The Middleman's kind of like this superhero in a way. Imagine comic book villains like evil scientists, aliens invading. It's all real. And that's what it is in the premise of this show. And he and... his faithful companion, his sidekick, Wendy Watson, they every week they have another case. And it's just completely... It's based on a comic book series by Javier Grillo Marxwatch, is his name. He was a writer on Lost. He adapted his comic book for this show, and it's really silly. It's a great show, and I recommend everybody check out The Middleman. It's just a silly, goofy show, and I think you'll love it. And there's nothing
serious
about it.
I know it is on Xbox 360's TV stuff, but
yeah, you can
also 240 points a show. So
yeah, you can watch it in HD on Xbox, but it's on ABC Family. DirecTV is going to get ABC Family in HD, but I'm afraid the season will be over by the time it does. Hopefully they'll rerun
it. They'll replay it.
But it's very campy. If you like campy type stuff, you'll dig it. It's a really cutesy show, and I dig it a lot. I watch it every week. All right, let's do some news. What do you say, Bill?
Okay.
Let's do it!
Watch your attitude, Mario.
Oh, better watch out, Mario. All right,
never
Bill.
Work in this town again, Mario.
What do we got in the news?
Okay. First story. A story of really dumb police. Parents of a 16-year-old boy in intensive care with a broken back want to know why police tasered their son 19 times.
Holy crap.
Rather than calling an ambulance for help. citizens of Branson, Missouri, teenager Mace Hutchinson, walking
That's
alongside
an awesome
the road
name.
And fearing for his safety, called 911. We called the police. My wife was afraid he was going to get ran over or hit. He looked a little agitated, but other than that, he didn't look to be falling down drunk or anything like that. When police arrived, they found Hutchinson under an overpass on U.S. 65 Saturday morning. The boy had fallen 30 feet off the overpass and was lying on the shoulder. When the boy didn't respond to police, they tasered him repeatedly.
What? He was unconscious and they tasered him?
Yeah, I guess maybe they thought it would wake him up.
It was like a defibrillator or something?
I have no idea. I'm not an officer, but I don't see the reason for tasering somebody lying there with a broken back. I don't consider that a threat, his Aunt Samantha said. So maybe they were afraid he was like high or like Rodney King high or something? I don't know. They tested his system. He was clean of drugs and alcohol. We don't know why. Unless just being in shock of the whole thing in itself caused him to forget everything, Hutchinson told the television station. I guess the kid doesn't remember falling onto the pavement and or anything else. So he's in the hospital. He's going to have to go through some major surgery on his back. But still, his father claims if the police hadn't stunned the teenager 19 times, his critical surgery would not have been delayed by 2 days. So, don't go to Branson, Missouri, and
we're like, hey man, check this guy out.
What's he doing on the side of the road? Let's tase him.
Hey, that's probably what they do to roadkill.
That's some crazy shit, man.
That's what they do to roadkill, so they decided to do it to this kid. All right, next story is a little lighter. A 53-year-old Brazilian national has been found guilty of attempted murder after shooting a neighbor he thought was another neighbor whom he claims sodomized his cat, thus turning it gay.
Who wants a body massage?
What?
Yeah. Jose Marie Correa asked neighbor Annabella Sylvia Cruz to help catch the animal, which had escaped onto an adjacent piece of land. A second neighbor, homosexual Jose Pedro Macedo, who was at his window, saw they were having trouble with their pets and offered his help too. As he tried to join the mission, Jose Correa yelled insults at the neighbor concerning his sexual orientation. After catching his pet, Jose Correa went to his neighbor's house with a 6.35 caliber Browning pistol. Annabella Cruz remained on the property's patio and was injured when Browning was fired. Courts proved that it was a cause of mistaken identity, that Jose Correa believed it was his other neighbor on the patio and was convinced Jose Pedro was a homosexual and that there had been contact of a sexual nature between the neighbor and his cat.
I love fairies.
Yeah, it then turned the cat into a queer, claimed Correa.
That makes no sense at all.
Well, you know, maybe his cat turned pink and it, you know, started talking like Snagglepuss.
There's no such thing as a gay cat.
A gay cat?
You wake up with him sitting on your lap humping on you or something.
Oh, exit stage left.
How does he know he's gay? I don't...
Leave us exit stage left.
I guess, I don't know, I guess maybe this guy just puts off gay vibes and he thought the cat would get it.
He vanished into skinny air.
What concerns me the most is the guy thought his neighbor had sex with a cat.
And that's what turned it gay.
Yeah, I guess hey, once you get a taste time. Of it, you...
Stage right!
You know, ask Snagglepuss. You know. I think Snagglepuss actually, you know, was involved with the other guy that hosted the Laugh Olympics, so... Little love affair there.
Good old Snagglepuss. Snagglepuss, ooh. Basically Snagglepuss was a gay Pink Panther, wasn't he?
Yeah, basically. But we don't know if the Pink Panther was gay. He never spoke. Maybe he had...
He gave off a hetero vibe to me, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I'm going to say...
Maybe he had that affect. Oh, my God.
That's why he didn't speak.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe he was
I
ashamed.
I think it's very soigné.
Definitely.
Yeah, positively, Ken. I assume the cat was the catcher, not the pitcher, in that situation.
I don't understand. How would the other be possible?
Yeah, exactly. I. Yeah.
Well,
wow.
He sodomized the cat. I mean, so.
All right. Wow. Like little cat sodomy. A River Ridge teenager was arrested for attempted murder after he allegedly took a shot at a victim, then shot himself in the thigh as he put the gun back into his pants pocket. Judon McCain, 17, was charged Thursday with attempted first-degree murder and aggravated assault with a firearm. The incident occurred just before noon at the 500 block of Bengal Road. During an argument over $10, McCain allegedly... pulled a silver revolver out of his pants pocket, fired one shot, striking the ground. McCann then leveled the gun at an unidentified victim, but another witness pushed his arm down as he squeezed the trigger, and the bullet missed its target. Victim took off, but McCann placed the gun into his pocket. It accidentally fired, striking him in the left thigh. Too bad it didn't miss the artery there. What is that, the carotid artery?
Yes.
Maybe it would have, you know, bled out. We had one last dumbass. a story out of the 1980s movie Big Shots. A 4-year-old boy from Stanford, Kentucky, put his 2-year-old brother in the car with him and drove it into a ditch last weekend.
Big Shots?
Don't you remember that movie?
Vaguely.
I loved that movie. Something happened with the kid's father, and he got in a car and drove to the city, and then he befriended a black kid, and they, like, drove cross-country. And as I remember, he went into a bar and ordered milk, and it was one of the movies I watched over the kid. Yeah. So he drove the car into a ditch last weekend while his mother and her boyfriend were sleeping. Neither boy was injured. "I've never run across anything like this before in my life," said Lincoln County Sheriff Kurt Folger, who added that the boy said he wanted to go to his grandma's house. Why every time do these kids always want to go to their grandma's house? What's so great about grandma's house?
Oh, grandma's house is always awesome. She lets you eat whatever you want. You watch whatever you want.
I hated my grandma.
What?
She was a bitch.
That's horrible.
It's true. About the only thing she ever had there was Cheetos.
Yeah, right.
And I didn't mind eating those, but everything else, she was a terrible cook. She was a mean woman. I hated going there. The best thing about going there was my grandpap, and after he died in 85, there was no reason to go there.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's couldn't stand horrible, that woman. Bill. It's sad. I love my grandma. Grandma's
well,
house,
hey, at least you had a good grandma.
Grandma's house was my safe haven. That's like,
really?
Yeah.
The only thing that was fun at my grandma's house was she had one of those gigantic weeping willow trees, and we would swing around on the vines. But and pretend we're like Tarzan and stuff. But that was about it.
A little bite on these knees.
Huh?
So yeah. Oh, barbecues galore is explaining to me that that's the femoral artery. I guess that would make sense. Femur, femoral, carotid,
damn,
in the neck. Thanks. My dad's the paramedic, not me. Thanks. Okay. So this accident happened in a rural area around 9 a.m. last Saturday. The boy traveled about 350 feet in the car before hitting a couple of trees and going over in a ditch. Oh, I guess he's not that good of a driver. Passerby discovered them, dialed 911. They responded and then notified the mother and the boyfriend. Apparently, the boy and his brother got up that morning, took the keys from the table, went outside, and drove the car out of the driveway.
I guess...
the boyfriend... identified as Douglas Bell, was charged with menacing after making gestures towards the two boys and an officer. Gee, I wonder what gestures those were.
Ew.
Now, didn't you have a problem with wasps, like, last year or something?
Wasps?
Yeah,
I had one. Every once in a while, one flies in the house.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Well, this guy in Norway, instead of merely getting rid of wasps, he ended up burning down his garage with the car inside.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, a senior citizen poured lighter fluid on a rag and lit it. He failed to notice that the wood pile containing the wasp nest also caught fire.
Everybody get back. We got a gas leak. No!
By the time the firefighters arrived, both the garage and the man's car were smoldering wrecks, witness writes the daily newspaper.
You want to know my secret to getting rid of the wasps? Though. You know how I get rid of wasps and it doesn't involve fire? Vacuum cleaner. Vacuum it up, man. It's awesome.
And the guy says maybe using a lighter fluid wasn't such a good idea, but it was an accident all the same and the wasps are gone.
Yeah, like if... I have, like, a little nest over the door or something. Stick the vacuum. Just suck it up, man. Because,
Just go get that jet spray that shoots, like, 30 yards. I mean,
yeah,
you
but...
You can be far away the same...
Yeah, I like the vacuum just because it's not messy and you don't deal with poison or anything.
Yeah, but do they ever fly back out of it?
No, they can't get out. They're screwed.
I do that with spiders. But, you know, I have one of those Dyson vacuums. Mm-hmm. And there's so many, like, holes and shit. on that thing. I'm never sure if they're going to crawl out somewhere.
You know how they have those new ones?
Watch them in that little clear bowl.
Yeah, those new bagless ones. You see the wasp.
Yeah, that's what I have.
But seriously, if there's no oxygen there, don't they immediately die? Just drop dead?
I have no idea. I am not a...
It's a vacuum, Steven. No oxygen.
It's a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't necessarily suck oxygen out. Not like space inside the canister.
Okay. Did I take the word vacuum too literally?
Yeah.
Come on, it's a vacuum.
Oregon City, Oregon, a man and a woman have been jailed after their sexual encounter led someone to think a rape was in progress.
Oh my God.
That doesn't sound good.
You're talking to.
The Clackamas, wow, that's a great county. Clackamas County Sheriff's Office says a homeless woman seeking a place to pitch a tent contacted the authorities Wednesday after witnessing a man sexually assaulting a bound naked woman. The 47-year-old Milwaukee man and 46-year-old Portland woman fled when deputies arrived but were tracked down by a police dog. Holy crap, what scent did they give that police dog? Hair dog, smell this. Pair explained that they met on Craigslist.
What?
While seeking this type of sexual encounter, man added that he fled because of his marital status. They were lodged on charges of public indecency, disorderly conduct, and criminal trespass. Wow, that's pretty sad. I mean, if you're going to have a sexual encounter like that, like a rape fantasy thing, why not do it in a hotel? Why do it in a park?
Don't get shot and murdered, raped.
People just are into some crazy shit, man.
Palm Springs, California, a man with an unusual bulge in his pants was arrested in front of a Walmart supercenter in Palm Springs when he admitted he was trying to steal chicken. Timothy Yates, 46, was booked on suspicion of possessing stolen property and taken to jail, where he was locked up in lieu of $5,000 bail. Sergeant Mitch Spike. Oh, shit, that's an awesome name. Mitch Spike. Said an officer at the store asked Yates if he had anything on him that the officer should know about. It surprised the officer when Yates lifted up his shirt and removed a 3.5-pound package of Foster Farms chicken breasts from the front of his pants. Yeah, I got this chicken in my pants, sir. I didn't
really
choke
hungry.
It. I was just trying to steal it. Eesh. All right, I'm going through some of these news stories trying to figure out if I should do one more. Yeah, I'll do one more and then we'll get the DVDs. I like this one. This one's right out of my hometown, Columbus, Ohio. Well, where I am now. Authorities in Central Ohio have their own stories about oddball 911 calls, similar to the recent one in Florida by a man upset about his Subway sandwich. Columbus police say they got one roughly 2 months ago from a woman unhappy with her fast food hamburger. Lieutenant Brent Moll in the police radio room says the restaurant remade the burger, but the customer still wasn't satisfied. Moll says other emergency calls have come from a mother who wanted police to do something about her 8-year-old who liked watching porno.
Wow.
Yeah.
8 years old?
Eight years old watching porn.
Young, huh?
Franklin County Sheriff Lieutenant Karen Cotter says all calls about potential crimes must be taken seriously. So is that a crime if an 8-year-old's watching porno?
I think so. Yeah.
Is he sexually adventurous or curious? Or?
Where was he watching porn at?
It doesn't say. It just says he was watching porn.
I would like assume that it'd be contributing.
How did the mom know he was watching the porn? Was it like Parenthood where she found a brown paper bag she thought was filled with drugs?
Was it in a public place?
No, I don't. Well, where do you watch porn? You wouldn't watch it in a public place.
Is it like actual videos or is it pornographic magazines?
The woman called 911 saying her 8-year-old was watching porn and what does she do about it?
But I thought she wanted another sandwich.
No, that was a prior story.
Oh, okay.
They're saying that was a story out of Florida that some woman called about a Subway sandwich to 911.
And this is your testicles weird one.
Yeah.
Where a woman.
I'm sorry. Did I confuse you?
I just blended them together, I guess.
Oh, okay. Well, that's news for this week.
Well, let's see, the lady, she wanted her sandwich remade, but also her kid was watching porn.
Yeah, she wanted a new sandwich, and while she was on the line, she wanted to know what to do about the porn that her 8-year-old enjoys.
There's a good chance you'll see me naked.
That would not be good porn.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Yes, yes, let's do some DVDs.
Conversation ended.
Oh.
Wait, I'm not done with this conversation.
Let's do some DVDs! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs!
DVDs! DVDs! HD, Blu-ray, Standard Definition! DVDs! Oh yeah, the DVDs, everybody!
I'm f***ing done. It's over.
No, we're just getting started.
Open the door, bitch.
I have to agree with Montreal guy in the chat room. He put this up a little bit ago, but when I was 8 years old, all I knew in porn category was a Sears catalog.
Ew. You know,
the chicks and the bras and stuff. That was the good old times.
Ew.
That is true.
I think
though.
Around 10, we found Dad's Playboy stash.
Kicking butt.
Well, see, the thing that I love. I grew up with three sisters, so they always had like the fashion magazines. And every once in a while, there would be some
flash
topless
nudity. Yeah.
Or, yeah,
it was
so
that
I
tasteful
remember,
nudity.
Yeah, I remember ripping pages out of that and putting them under my bed. I had no idea what to do with them yet, but I knew I liked them whenever I looked at them.
You needed to collect them for later.
Yeah, for later, when I figured out what to do with them.
Is there anything worse, though, than first going through puberty where you don't understand anything or... It's just horrible.
It's really pretty confusing because it's like, I like this, but why?
Everyone should have that therapist on the Two Corys to help you out.
She would. Oh, she's great.
She would really just, you wouldn't feel so strange.
All right. DVDs.
If you
really loved the first Art of War with Wesley Snipes.
Holy crap. What a piece of crap that was.
You can now take solace in the fact that there is Art of War 2, The Betrayal.
Yes.
Nice.
We shouldn't have that language when talking about Wesley Snipes. The man has done a lot for this country.
Dog.
In fact, he doesn't pay his taxes.
He doesn't get a vote.
In fact, he's in jail right now as we speak.
You guys are a bunch of slackers.
Oh.
And last time I saw him, was he at the Oscars last time?
Was he ever nominated?
He was some awards event with sitting next to Spike Lee, and he looked really frail.
Oh, really? That's too bad. Really last time I saw him, he was on a Total Gym commercial.
I thought at the Oscars he was in France because they were looking for him right around that time.
He was at something recently. He just looked really frail. He didn't look like Blade anymore.
Oh, poor Blade.
He wasn't pumped up on the juice.
Oh!
All right, next DVD. Caroline in the City, the complete first season.
Oh, I love that show.
I can't believe I watched this.
Leah Thompson? Yeah, I did too. She never hooked up with that damn assistant of hers, did she?
No, she had that strip that was like Kathy.
Yeah, she had a doofus boyfriend. And
yeah.
Just went on. I watch the show every week, man. What the hell?
So did I. I watched it.
Wasn't it on the same night as like Seinfeld, that Thursday night lineup?
I think you're right, yeah.
So I guess
fell in there.
I need the Caroline in the City.
I'm looking at it here, and I wonder if this was like, if they did this, because Caroline in the City was on before Friends, right?
I believe so.
Because all the episodes are like Caroline and the Mugger, Caroline and the Gay Art Show, Caroline and the... So it's... And didn't Friends do their episodes a lot like that? They would always...
Theirs were... It would be called The One About Something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
The One About the Sandwich. The One About the Wedding. Okay. They always had that.
All right. So, yeah, Caroline in the City. There you go.
With commentary by Leah Thompson, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, God, what was that band that did the Howard the Duck song?
Cherry Bomb.
Cherry Bomb. Wasn't that a Thomas Dolby band?
Yeah, he did all the music for the Howard the Duck. Well, John Barry actually did the score to Howard the Duck, but Thomas Dolby did all the band type music.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine being in the room with John Barry as he watches Howard the Duck and tries to make a score for it?
Oh, I know. And it's actually
he had
good.
To be sitting there just going, what in the
Why
hell am
did
I doing?
Take this gig again?
I'm friends with Stephen Wye?
Yeah, I mean, that just has to be incredibly... Wow, I would love to be in that room.
You All know, right. recently I watched Some Kind of Wonderful, and basically it's Pretty in Pink done over again. With you know, it's got Eric Stoll, it's Mary Stuart Masterson.
Yeah,
and Leah Thompson. And they're all supposed to be in high school. And I looked up on IMDb. I'm like, how old are these freaking people when they made this? They're all like 27, 28 years old. High school, like Craig Sheffer's supposed to be the preppy guy. The guy looks like he's 33 years old in the movie. He's wearing suits to school. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, they've done that forever where they've cast older people than...
It's so funny. Leah Thompson's supposed to be like this hot... high school chick. It's just like, does she have kids or like how old is she?
I cashed in my college tuition to buy you earrings.
And I want
to
know this because John Hughes, he had he produced it. He didn't actually. I think he wrote it, but he didn't direct it. But does it take place in Shermer, Illinois? Is what I want
yeah,
to
it does.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, all his everything that he's involved in does.
And will John Hughes ever make another movie? Is what I'm curious about.
I hope not. I really kind of hope not.
I love John Hughes movies though.
So do I. But they have their period. You know. He had that voice. That voice that of the '80s. I don't think he could. You know, recapture that kind of thing.
Yeah, recapture kind of like a Gross Point Blank.
It'd be like
kind
if you,
re-
yeah,
if you be like if you retread it, it. I mean, if you go back there, it's like no, you're just ruining it, kind of thing.
Yeah, especially now with like the '80s being chic again.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think I could handle that.
It's not that he shouldn't make anything like that, but like a not a revamp, but like.
He can
like,
just
like the
make
Gross
something
Point Blank.
New. He doesn't exactly. even have to go back to any of those old movies. Just make something new. I'm curious to what he would do.
I don't know. There's like a certain charm to all that stuff. Like, I think my favorite Hughes movie of all time has to be Uncle Buck.
I'm going to say, I don't know, I still love 16 Candles. Still love
Pretty
Breakfast Club and, oh my God, Weird Science.
You know, honestly, I'm going to admit something here that probably I shouldn't, and I'll regret it.
Oh, God.
I get teary-eyed at the end of Uncle Buck every time I see it, and that music kicks in, and it, you know, freeze frame on his face waving goodbye. And it's like, oh, I get choked up whenever I see that.
Is it because Candy's dead?
I don't. Yeah, I think, but also because that.
I mean,
I guess
partial.
The movie kind of.
Hey,
I was young enough to affect me
way.
At that point in time.
You know, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
He. That's why he was great. I want to see him make more stuff.
Yeah, he was. He was really terrific, and it was sad for him to be in such shit movies as his last movies, like what was it, Wagons East or whatever.
Oh my God, with Richard Lewis.
Oh. But
Yikes.
Yeah, I mean, Uncle Buck was just classic.
Ew.
Ever hear of a ritual killing? All right, so next DVD is CJ7, Stephen Chow's kind of Asian E.T. And
I've
I'm a huge fan
posters.
Of Stephen Chow. I love this guy.
I've seen posters of this. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, he. So it's kind of like an E.T. thing. But Stephen Chow's really kind of... slapstick, like he did Shaolin Soccer.
Oh, okay. Kung Fu Hustle.
I was about to say Kung Fu Hustle, yeah. Shaolin Soccer.
God of Cookery, which is one of my favorites.
That's the best title I've ever heard, actually. Of a movie.
What?
God of Cookery. That's
yeah,
awesome.
That movie cracks me up. It's like, you know, I've explained it before. It's like, it was when Iron Chef was pretty big back in the early 90s, and he did kind of a play on that. So it was... It was definitely a funny movie. But yeah, this one, I saw it just recently, and I really, really enjoyed it. It's a really sweet movie.
And how are the effects?
They're not terrific, but, you know, they're watchable.
Better than Mac and me?
What?
Better than Mac and me?
Oh, please. That's the only thing CJ7 was missing, was a kid in a wheelchair.
Oh, man.
Awesome.
I know a way we can tug at the heartstrings of the audience. Let's put the kid in a wheelchair and meet an alien.
Well, you know what cracks me up also, just recently watching Mystery Science Theater 3000's riff of Pod People. It's another one of those movies.
Trumpy.
Trumpy.
Trumpy, you can do stupid
things. Mom going around killing everyone.
Ew.
I always love that. Trumpy, you can do stupid things.
I was watching the MST Forbidden Planet last night.
Yeah, that is a really funny one.
Forbidden Zone? Yeah.
Is it that?
The Herve Villages movie?
No. The one with Exeter. Doug Exeter.
Oh, This Island Earth.
This Island Earth.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Exeter. Doug Exeter. I love that. And when he hits the alien to the head who's got exposed brain, there go the piano lessons. Oh, God. And there goes my childhood. I love that.
Still, my favorite stuff has to be at the beginning with the interocitor.
Yeah, who doesn't have an interocitor?
Interocitor. But
next DVD is another TV series from the early 90s. Dave's World, the first season. The show with Harry Anderson.
Yeah, Harold T.
Dave
Stone.
Barry.
Yeah, the judge from Night Court. I never watched the show. Is it funny?
It was okay. It was based on the columns that Dave Barry wrote for the Miami Record. He's kind of a famous guy in the 90s. He wrote all kinds of books and stuff. Kind of humor writer. It was okay.
He's better as Harold T. Stone.
Yeah. As long as he did magic, I was happy.
Oh, definitely.
All right. Next DVD, DC Superheroes, The Filmation Adventures.
What the hell's that?
These are DC comic favorites, Atom, Flash, Green Lantern, Hawkman, and these Filmation associate-produced adventures. They're just this, it's like a two-disc compilation of kind of like Justice League stuff.
If I remember correctly, the animation's horrible.
Yeah, oh yeah, it totally is. But, you know, it's out there, and some people really love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it was the animation by Lewis Scheimer and all that.
Open the door,
so,
bitch!
What's funny is it has, it's in, I guess it was originally done in Portuguese, so they have the original Portuguese audio and all
nice.
That. So. All right, next DVD is Felon.
Felon.
Yeah, I think it's direct-to-video. It has Stephen Dorff, Val Kilmer looking like, and look, he honestly looks like Jeff Bridges in this.
Wow.
I thought it was Jeff Bridges for a second, and I was like, whoa, that's Val Kilmer.
You know,
Holy crap.
Old Val is thickened up just a little bit.
Just a little. And it's got Harold Perrineau, Michael from Lost.
Oh, the helicopter pilot from the 28 months later.
Honestly, this movie sounds like that one that Tom Selleck did in the 90s, An Innocent Man.
Wow, that was a great flick.
It's because I sent sarcasm there.
Well, it's because Sledgehammer was the crooked cop in it. What kind of crap is that?
All I remember is they make him a glass shiv, and he stabs someone and breaks it off on him. But yeah, this is it says Wayne Porter, Stephen Dorff, suddenly loses everything when he accidentally kills the hamburglar who broke into his home. Convicted of involuntary manslaughter, he's sentenced to spend 3 years in a maximum security facility where the rules of society no longer apply.
Oh,
so
man,
he has to deal with...
So it's a post-apocalyptic prison? Or
no, it's just a prison. So
I'm fucking done. I'm fucking done. That's over.
I heard about this movie from George Takei on the Stern Show, Ninja Cheerleaders, where he plays a Sensei Hiroshi to these kicking these butt? Three chicks who are ninja cheerleaders.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Michael Paré is in it.
Nice.
He's awesome. Come on. That's on the dark side. Oh, yeah.
Johnny and the Cruisers.
Eddie and the Cruisers.
Eddie and the Cruisers. Johnny.
I love it.
But Johnny was great, too. I loved him.
Johnny and the Cruisers.
Ew.
That's not gross.
A you movie know I never heard of.
Eddie and the Cruisers. Oh, I'm sorry. Eddie and Cruisers, very watchable. What the hell? Eddie and the Cruisers 2?
Yeah, who said we need to make Eddie and the Cruisers 2?
What the hell? Okay.
Ed, what was it called? Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie's Back or something?
I don't know. It made no... Hey, is that who I think it... Eddie!
Eddie, we thought you were dead. No, man. I was just on the dark side. Whoa.
Yeah. It's like the movie didn't make a dime, but I guess it was so popular on VHS. They're like, let's make a sequel. No one went to see it.
All right, so this next movie is called The Secret with David Duchovny.
Dog.
And Lily Taylor, who... Isn't that the... That's the independent actress, right?
Yeah.
So, happily married soulmates, relationship brutally severed when she's killed in a car accident as she dies, but bizarre twist of fate propels some other chick inside the body. Oh, propels Hannah inside the body of a beautiful teenage daughter. Oh, so that's even more creepy.
Dude, what?
So, the mom dies, is transported into the body of her teenage daughter. And she learns about her daughter's secret life, and she and her husband draw closer in the body of their daughter and rekindle their romance. Wow.
That sounds creepy. Man, what the hell?
Yeah, I might have to see that.
Definitely. That sounds really icky.
Yeah.
Who's the daughter?
Yeah, is she hot?
She's cute. Olivia Thirlby.
Open the door, bitch.
Juno, United 93.
Huh. Ooh,
she's cute. All right.
Awesome.
Next DVD is Smart People. Dennis Quaid, Sarah Jessica Footface, Ellen Page, Thomas Hayden Church.
Big hot mess.
Yeah, they say it's a smart movie and enjoyable.
Ugh, smart.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a movie
It's the
Smart?
First in a, it's the first film this year for intellectual people.
You.
And last but not least, True Calling.
Yes.
Eliza Dushku, Jason Priestley, Zach Galifianakis, and Sean Reeves.
Eliza Dushku. Yeah, she's back. Now, hey,
the
is this...
The first season.
Oh, this is season one. All right.
Well, actually, oh, I'm sorry. No, it's the complete series.
Okay, so it's
season one, and season two was only
six
episodes.
Right. That show was so bad that I watched it just for Eliza Dushku.
Which one was it?
True Calling.
She worked in
The Dead Body Week of Save.
Yeah, but it's T-R-U Calling.
Yeah, because
okay?
her name is True.
Right.
Because it's ghetto.
And she's on a new Joss Whedon show called
The Dollhouse.
Yeah, and it might be canceled by the time it airs.
Yeah,
it's on
well,
Fox.
You know what? It's Joss Whedon should have learned his lesson the first time he dealt with Fox.
Why did you go back to Fox? Seriously,
it's like that stupid old saying, "A leopard never changes its spots." It's Fox. Don't let them bullshit you. That's the... I mean, Joss Whedon deserves it for even going back
now
to that.
Now back off and let me pee.
Is that Joss Whedon?
No, that's Bubba, but it could be Joss Whedon.
But, hey, the show sounds interesting, and it also has Hilo on the show, so...
Yeah, but we've learned that Hilo isn't exactly the best actor outside of Battlestar Galactica.
He's fantastic. What are you talking about?
Do we need to remind you about this episode of Smallville? Seriously?
Hey, that I blame the writing, all right?
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
Because, you know, a good actor can't take bad writing and make it work.
Not on that show.
No.
I mean, come on, look at Glover.
Hell, even Bow Wow was better than him.
What?
telling you.
Little Bow Wow. He was
Bow Wow.
He was
rocked the hizzy.
He was superb.
In fact, I feel like chewing Stride gum right now.
No, that was the different black guy.
I know, but still.
Oh, okay.
That was the episode with Sam Jones the
Third. Sam Jones the Third.
Yeah, Racer Mex reminds people to check out Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
Oh, yeah.
It's enjoyable, but it made me feel a little, you know, gay.
Shrinkage.
I get that feeling with the musical stuff. I'm sorry, I just do.
Penis.
I had to deal with enough of that in acting school. I don't.
Bill,
it's like,
there's nothing gay about musicals, even though a gay guy is singing it, Neil Patrick Harris, right?
Well, he's not really gay. Have you seen that article about him being like the man's gay man?
Shrinkage. Kind of,
you mean really he's a double agent?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
no, they're saying like he's the man's gay, like a man's man, the man's gay man.
Huh? I'm confused.
Yeah, it's really dumb. I don't.
You know, I heard from Marie Go from the Philippines, and you know, we mentioned her on a couple episodes ago, and she asked me if I had seen Dr. Horrible, and I have not yet. I've read about it, I've heard about it. I'm going to watch it and see what it is. It's basically...
It can be very funny, but I think it kind of falls apart at the end.
Is it? You know, it's a Joss Whedon created kind of
a web show, right?
Or...
In the writing is actually pretty good. The music isn't bad. It's not great.
But explain what it is. I don't even know what the hell it is.
Okay, so Neil Patrick Harris is this evil mad scientist who wants to get into the evil League of Evil or something, and he's kind of an idiot. Like he gets. Foiled at everything he does by this guy called the Hammer, who is Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
And so Dr. Horrible, you know, falls in love with this girl who he meets at a laundromat, and he doesn't reveal to her who he is, and then she meets the Hammer and falls in love with him, and then he's all about getting the Hammer, and it's funny, it's stupid. It's slightly uncomfortable. Yeah, the main bad guy in it is a horse, by the way. The bad horse.
Wait, what? When you mean uncomfortable, are you talking about the singing? Just like,
yeah, exactly. It just kind of, you know, it's kind of like those bad musicals where it's like everything's fine and all of a sudden they break into music.
Oh, I got you. So if you don't do the musical, it's kind of hard to sit through kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Josh.
Yeah, there's one.
But it's not bad. I mean, I don't think it's as great as everyone is claiming it to be. I think it's kind of the Joss Whedon fanboyism.
It's kind of a breath of fresh air right now during the summer, not a lot on, and or something like that.
It's only 40 minutes. I mean, each episode is like, you know, like 12 minutes or so, or a little more. It's not long at all.
Okay.
And like I said, it's like it's stupid and goofy through the whole thing, and then the last like 5 minutes of it like just completely makes a 180.
I saw that it's on Hulu now, so I'll check it out.
It is on Hulu.
Now, what were you saying, Steven?
I said there was a musical, I guess a horror musical that I'm waiting for, and it has the singer from Skinny Puppy in it.
What's it called?
It's called Repo. It's like it's like the mad scientist building. They're grave robbers, you know. And
is that the one with Paris Hilton in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure that'll be good.
I know. I'm just wanting to see what it is.
I'm f***ing done. I'm over.
Oh, my God.
If Bracer Max asked me, two Corys or Dr. Horrible, I would go with Dr. Horrible.
Come on, two Corys, come on.
I don't want to watch people just fighting and bickering.
I want them to love each other.
You watch
out.
Big Brother, you watch...
Why can't the two
Corys hang out? I only watch Big Brother for the show. I wouldn't even care otherwise.
Why couldn't the two Corys just play some Xbox or something? Just chill out, have a good time.
Why
Season
can't
one?
It just be the adventures of the two Corys? Why does that have to be all the freaking drama?
So silly. God.
Well, because of Susie.
Hmm.
She'll never.
I would love to see a version of the two Corys where they drive cross country to like a video game thing, and they meet crazy characters along the way, and meet the guy with the power glove.
Do you remember last season? Was it the last episode they met with this film producer who was making a movie about people standing in line at a Best Buy for the new latest console release or something?
Yeah.
Whatever happened with that?
I'm sure it, bit the dust. It's probably on Funny or Die with two other people or something.
Yeah. There's that Paris Hilton video. I won't watch it. I'm just boycotting.
The one where she gives her political...
Yeah. Because the local news are like, is Paris Hilton running for the president?
Well, that's just even dumb to mention. First off,
it's just like, come on, can I watch real news? Do I really have to get this shit locally? Come on. Jesus Christ.
It's on everything. It was on CNN, on
Fox News. Christ, it's idiocracy, man. That's why we talk about good quality stuff on this show, like the two Corys.
That's why we ridicule the bad quality stuff.
I want to work for Diddy.
Kicking butt.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs are coming out?
That's it. That's all of them.
That's it? No Blu-rays or anything?
No, it's not a very good
week.
Or as I would say, it's a weak week.
All right. Well, thanks for doing the DVDs, Bill.
No problem.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
See your bum, I don't care what you say. No, I don't have feelings, cause feelings are gay. Something, something in the month of May. Bitches love my penis cause it's really big. Show me your genitals, your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
What?
Genitalia. Show me your genitals. Your genitals.
What?
Show me your genitals.
Good times. All right, everybody, that was episode 133 of Nowhere a Mulberry. Thank you for tuning in. We always appreciate it. If you'd like to send us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com, feel free to do so, and I'll read it and reply to you. Now, the emails all went out to the people who donated for the downloads of the cool ringtones. If you didn't get one, I'm pretty sure I didn't miss anyone. I was thorough, but if you didn't, write me, okay? But also go to nowhereamulberry.com. You'll find links to Mulberry Old School. Did you see that, Bill, in a post on the forum that we were trying to find the original episode of Nowhere Mulberry where the crunk up was first mentioned?
Yes.
And it's episode 43. And remind me of who went and looked for us.
Let me look.
Because, I mean, that took a lot of work. You said it took 3 hours of work of listening to episodes to find it.
That's amazing. That's dedication. It was Zell.
Zell. Thank you, Zell. Yeah. Anything I look at during show days, I'm just a mess on show days. I don't remember.
Yeah, I know. Show days are stressful.
Yeah, they are, dog.
Because we plan to do this stuff all week long, and then Friday comes around. It's like, oh, shit, we haven't done anything.
I left everything for Friday. Usually what I do is I start on Thursday compiling everything, and then Friday's like the edit, put everything together. It's like throw everything in the bucket on Thursday, Friday sort the shit out, and Friday I'm just like, oh, shit. Like today I took my daughter to the dentist, and it like took forever, and I'm like looking at the clock like, oh, my God, come on, people. I got shit to do.
Those are baby teeth. They're falling out.
That's why I never schedule anything for Fridays anymore.
But my daughter did so good at the dentist. I'm so proud of her. This is how cute it is. They're cleaning her teeth. It tickles. So she's giggling as they're cleaning her teeth. And they were just laughing like, oh, my God, she's so cute. And she's like, like as they're doing. You know how many other kids are like, ah! It's probably a breath of fresh air for them.
That's absolutely amazing. That's terrific. Has she watched something that's like the dentist is okay? Or
there's the Elmo things where Elmo goes to the doctor and stuff like that.
Okay.
She's incredible at the doctor, too.
That's
when she
cool.
got her tonsils out, she's just incredible.
Oh, she was a champ for like 2.5 weeks.
Wow, it was just incredible. I've got an incredible daughter.
To be that young and to go through something like that and be able to get through it without that much trouble.
Yeah. I'm proud of her every day.
Awesome.
Stuff like that. That's why when I see other children, it's like, Man, do we luck out?
Oh, yeah.
Low maintenance, man. Except for when she needs a nap. Then every kid gets cranky. Then.
Oh, totally.
And they get my niece, who's about the same age, maybe a couple months younger than that, she gets friggin' cranky.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I get cranky, too.
Ew.
Well, so do I.
I'll
get real angry, and sometimes I'll just piss on the floor.
Huh?
Smear shit on the walls.
Wow.
Yeah, I get feral whenever I need this.
That is angry.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Don't be around me. I'll fling shit at you like a monkey.
Wow. Yeah? That is very monkey-like.
Yeah, well, I revert back in evolution.
All right, on that note, go ahead and donate to us because we like it. And also, hey...
I need cleaning supplies to clean up my floor and walls.
Oh, big time. That stuff... Hey, Bill.
It stains.
Open the door, Bill.
Open the door, bitch.
No!
I'm going to knock you out. How does it...
Don't
someone,
call me bitch again.
He goes from 0 to 60, like, no, just go away. I'm not going to have any part of this conversation. Just go away. Everything's cool.
Open the door, bitch.
No, what did you say? I will knock you out. I'm opening the door now. That's all he had to say to get him to open the door. Good times and great wine. Hey, did you guys like that Busey bit in the intro? About
yes,
Hummers?
That was funny.
About hybrids?
I like that idea. I want to stick a
what
hybrid.
What did he say? You're
just put a hybrid.
Something of placenta?
Well, yeah.
Your misfortunate placenta?
That was some weird crap because, you know, he said the weird thing about the endocrine system.
Yeah.
And then
he's obsessed with body organs.
I'm going to pull your endocrine system out of your body.
And then there's
and like
the
we've
bit,
said before, that's a feat.
Stupid, misfortunate placenta.
Yeah, there you go.
Misfortunate placenta.
A village idiot.
Exactly. Man, what his... God, he can't breathe.
He sounds like Steven.
So bad.
Ew.
Yeah, it's gross. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening to the show. Does anyone have anything to add before we pull the plug on this thing?
No, after we do the show, Andy and I normally hook up on Xbox 360 for a couple hours. So, people that listen, you want to hook up with us, you know, Mulberry Bill's my name, Apostle X2 is his name, and we're normally on around 12:30 a.m.
So what are you
Saturday
be playing?
We'll probably play a little Battlefield Bad Company, maybe some Halo. They normally do... double XP weekends, so we'll get our scores up.
Yeah, see, I'm so far behind on that Halo stuff, no reason to even play, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I actually enjoy it when I play with Andy, because we're kind of like a team. He loves driving a car, I love you shooting a turret.
It is fun, like, if it's you and me playing Bad Company, it's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah, but, because you can be support, I can be demolition, or vice versa, stuff
it's
like
funny,
that.
It's like, I don't know
for a team, synergy.
I don't know what happens, but I start dropping F-bombs, like...
I know, we get really vulgar when we play.
Well,
it's
just like,
it's
dude,
frightening.
Bill, that dude on my team just killed me. And then you're like, he killed me too! What the hell is this guy's problem? Just stuff like that. There's a lot of idiots on Xbox.
You'll discover
Live.
That any new... Xbox Live participants, there are a lot of idiots. A
lot of jackasses.
No, nobody still makes fun of my gamer tag. I think my gamer tag that people made fun of me was King Medicine. They thought I was a doctor or something. But it was actually a Jets to Brazil song. But now I'm just Mulberry Bill, so nobody makes fun of me.
That's right. There's nothing to make fun of, man. That's a badge of honor.
It is, man. In fact, I need to put Historian of Ass in my...
you know, you'll see the most ridiculous names that people think is funny, like D's Nuts is the handle or something like that. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's real original. Really cool. Or like...
My cousin's 12-year-old son thinks that's hilarious.
D's Nuts? Yeah. Or like something to do with scrotum or something. It's hilarious, they all think. You know, so whatever. I got nothing. Yeah, exactly. Let's end the show.
Let's end it, please.
Conversation ended.
That'll work. All right, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
See ya.
Later days, man. Bye, Bo.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Watch your attitude, Mario.
Now this is podcasting.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.